Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Wildcard caller in Virginia. Welcome to Coast, you're on with my guest, Dr. David. Go ahead.
George.
Yes, sir.
I got to hand it to you for being able to follow part of this conversation. Some of it is just going right through me, over my head. I have a question about time travel.
Okay.
In that, let's say your guest and I, he and I both got in the same time machine. We went into the past by, say, 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Grabbed a hold of ourselves, brought ourselves forward into the future. Now, all four of us are standing right here, right now. Since we are right here, right now, would the four of us still be able to listen to the Don and Mike Show?
Well, you, if you do that, you grab yourself and...
thank you. Bye.
Now, there's a time traveler who left his brain behind.
Well, you've taken yourself... Oh, oops, my phone fell off.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Buck. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
People do judge you by the words you use. When you speak well, you command respect.
Did you wash your ass today?
So fine, say, dear.
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left this floor, and I asked him to say he has handled this situation as a disgrace. As a disgrace.
Pay that bitch now. Please, please, please.
Now, the next thing in self-defense is muscle control. When you brace yourself for that first punch, you make yourself hard all over, and nothing can hurt you. Let me show you. You hit me right there. Just as hard as you can.
Go ahead, Oaks. Okay.
Come on. See, I'm braced. See? That ain't gonna hurt me. Come on. All you got. Come on.
You want to help find in that chair there?
Don't hit Barney.
Oh, no, that didn't hurt him because he is braced for it. Where's your Barney?
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mundus.
Brace that bitch now! Quick!
You know, when I went to school, there were men's residences, there were women's residences, and there was one co-ed dorm. But it is now the norm on most college campuses across the country that dormitories are co-educational, except in one state. There's one
state
that
says... McCree!
Okay.
Oh,
there is one... I have no idea what he's saying. Anyway, there's one campus where there are co-educational facilities.
Excuse me. I say I'm really glad and... proud to be here tonight. True love is hard to find. Sometimes you think you have true love, and then you catch the early flight home from San Diego, and a couple of new people jump out of your bathroom blindfolded like a goddamn magic show, ready to double team your girlfriend.
Stop. Right there.
And it continues right here because I think what my friend Mitch is trying to say is that true love is blind. Let's raise our glasses whenever we got in front of us. Salute. Health and happiness. Cheers, everybody. I love you so much, man.
Love you.
Break that bitch now! Quick, quick, quick! What happened? One day your woman left early. You had the whole house to yourself. She said, hey, let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house getting your jerk on. Nice good jerk too. You know that ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, eh, who that? That jerk. I'm talking about the good jerk. That nobody ain't home jerk. So you got the Vaseline ready. And you just look at it and go scream if you want to. No one's gonna hear.
Hi.
Okay. Hi, Donna Mike.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Break that bitch now! Quick.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Lord, you don't know could fill a book.
The Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Oh, no.
We made it live out of Sacramento, and I want to thank...
Welcome back, boys.
All of the flight attendants.
Right there.
Oh, Rob selected the airline.
That's what we call seniority.
They were very efficient. They were.
A true story. He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Bronze, beware!
I've missed you, Don. How long has it been?
Nearly 20 hours.
Can't do this again. This is amazing stuff. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Hello to Myra at Club Aqua.
Hi, Rob.
Ah. And all the ships at sea. They are charmingly ghetto. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie.
And hi, thanks for listening, everybody. This is the Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Monday. July 21st.
Right.
From anywhere in America. Even Sacramento.
Even Sacramento after your experience?
Yeah, you can call us at 877-365-3636. If you live in Canada, I'm sorry that you live in Canada, but you can still call 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. As always, your hotline, 202-432-1067.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz.
Hi. Well, yeah, jet lagged and fatigued, but... reeking of Sacramento, here I am.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up! Did you wash the ass today?
Someone called for a doctor?
You're back. You made it back in one piece.
Here's the deal for you, our beloved listeners. Place your bets now how much we're going to talk about Sacramento today. I'll give you just a moment. Are you ready? Will it be the whole show? Three quarters of the show? Will it be half the show? Place your bets now.
Place your bets!
Now you have to listen to the show to find out how much we'll talk about Sacramento.
No more bets.
Banzai.
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 Well, yeah, we're thinking about stealing that as the new theme for this show. I know we did a lot of talking about it last week, but...
Is it growing on you?
No. Oh, no, it's just as bad. I just brought the tape
you
in.
You just brought the tape in now.
It's kind of proved to you all the stuff.
I have not had a chance to see this show. You'll speak up.
Nor will I, but it's a phenomenon.
Well, you don't have to hear it. You just have to hear about it.
The show is a headache.
It's horrible.
Oh, my God. Right. I had to watch it twice.
Which is more of a headache? Going out to Sacramento in less than 24 hours or watching the show? Place bets now.
Place your bets now!
The ends. Like there's a little something in there that shouldn't be in there.
Right.
I told you they do the whole thing like which man will win. Except which man will win is the sentence, but it'll be which man win.
Right.
Which man win? Pretty girl. Pretty girl. Drop Henke. Who win?
Who win now?
Men of fire, war of water. Two brave men of fire. Number one, he called Ken. Fireman number two, he called Peter. Both must fire their high power hose of water at each other.
What did I tell you?
I gotta stop in and visit that show.
No, really.
I mean, I know I might be disappointed, but I'm sorry. You're selling it with those tapes.
No, the tapes are the best part.
God, that sounds funny.
If you watch it.
Beach Mom, we win.
Ridiculous. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Speak to us.
Now, what is that thing we read, the first call?
Sets the tone for the whole show.
Right.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I wasn't on before. I didn't hear the noise.
Oh, hi there. Okay, hi.
Hi. I'm the girl that Rob gave his jacket to. You know, he left it in my room. Ha ha, kidding, of course.
That's how I officially knew that Rob was drunk. Oh. Where's your jacket? I gave it away. I gave it to that girl.
Was it a sport coat?
Yeah, well, she was the first one, because remember we announced I had burned a hole in it
in
Iceland, and so I really had maybe one good wearing left in it, if that. She came up and she says, "You fixed your jacket with blue tape." I said, "I tell you what, at the end of the evening, the jacket is yours."
There you go.
So I hope it fits.
Oh, yeah, it went all the way down to my knees.
Yeah, you still look a little peaked, Rob.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Thank you.
Thank you. You too. Well, we got. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Hi. What?
I'm not looking too good for Sacramento, am I? I just wanted to tell you how.
No, what can we do for you, really?
I just wanted to tell you how great it was that you guys came out here, and I hope you do it again, and I hope next time everybody gets to come.
Yeah, keep we
hoping.
All do.
Keep hoping. So,
nice.
Listen, rather than describe it...
Do you have even any plans for next time? I mean, do you have any sketchy plans for how you want to handle it next time we go out?
I thought we were going next weekend.
Sure, for shopping.
It's beginning to become very clear the kind of weekend you two had.
It had everything to do with Sacramento. It had nothing to do with Sacramento. A lot of it had to do with our travel schedule. And you'll hear us complain about that in a couple of minutes. But we met an awful lot of nice people, including, and I mean this only in the nicest way, the 35 or so mooks that were actually at the airport,
right,
with signs in 100-degree weather at 11 a.m. on Saturday morning.
Steamy out there in the capital of California.
Very, very hot out there. But we got a lot of Sacramento stuff. We got some tape for you, Mike. We got some stories.
I'm sure looking forward to this.
Here's a shock. We had a few run-ins with people.
Very good.
You know, not people who came to see us, just the normal uptight Californians that were out there. We had a couple of run-ins to tell you about. Before we get going here, just let me get my bearings, because I really, like Rob, am just on fumes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, the schedule was, we did the show Friday, got up at 4 a.m. on Saturday.
Great.
Incidentally, great planning on our part.
Did you, the one thing I was curious about, whether you taped or not, did you tape the part where you picked up Rob in the car, or Rob picked you up?
Yes, we have that.
I want to hear what that is.
There's an amount of delight in Don's voice you seldom hear on the radio.
I think you'll be disappointed by that. I didn't cut loose with this effing sucks.
Right. Okay.
It's more of a resigned.
But I know there'll be moments on the tape.
It was more of a resigned, oh, we're really doing this. So we got up at 4. Rob picks me up at 5. Of course, we flew out of Baltimore. Why fly out of Washington?
Why?
Because flying out of Baltimore was the most direct way to get to Sacramento.
Yeah, I understand.
Which, of course, meant a nice hour layover in Minneapolis. So we, let me see, we got up at 4, Rob picked me up at 5, we got to the airport in Baltimore, which we'll talk about in depth, then flew to Minneapolis, waited there an hour, then flew 4 more hours to Sacramento, so we finally arrived in Sacramento roughly 8 hours from the time I got up.
And that's the best you can do.
That's
the best you can do getting out there.
That's the fastest. I guess the NBA teams that go out to Sacramento, they have their own planes.
Right.
But anybody else, you just can't get there from here. That should be the motto that
I
have on every corner in Sacramento. So we went to the hotel, checked in, and before you know it, it was time to get in the car with the TK girls, go to Club Aqua, then off for a romantic dinner with Rob and I, to bed, up the next morning at 3:30 a.m.
Oh my God!
To get to the airport by 5:30 to catch the plane at 6:30 to fly to Minneapolis to have another great layover, to fly into Baltimore.
Yeah.
And then drive the 2 hours back home.
Wow.
God.
You know, the thing is, when you land after that journey, you've still got, like, you know, 2 more hours to deal with.
Portal to portal, from Don leaving his front door to going back in his front door, 37 hours. And
37.
In that,
a whirlwind trip.
He entertained and traveled 7,000 miles.
Wow. we had a good time. I couldn't have done it without Rob, and I'm sure that, Rob couldn't have done it without me because I paid for his ticket.
I bought the ticket. And I told both of you, thanks for taking one for the team.
Yeah. Well, you'll hear it, Mike. Well, you'll hear.
Good.
You'll hear everything that happened.
Looking forward to it.
We actually had a more than great time with all the very nice people in Sacramento at KHTK. We mentioned on Friday that we're starting to get the spring ratings in now.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sacramento, we had great numbers. We got our Washington ratings today. Now, for some reason, Washington and Baltimore are always released on the same day, yet the Baltimore ratings, according to Arbitron, are embargoed.
Really?
Wow. Now, this is the only time I've ever heard word is like during the Cuban Missile Crisis, right? The, mm-hmm. You know, the JFK wanted to get an embargo he wanted to
You do trade embargoes against countries that you don't send them goods and you don't accept goods from them. That's an embargo.
Well, there are no Baltimore ratings to tell you about today, so we have no idea how we're doing.
Is there some controversy? Is that what it is?
No, there's a lot of markets that are being embargoed by Arbitron.
Mm. Embargoed.
I don't know what it means.
Does it mean there's some sort of glitch that they're investigating?
To believe there could be anything wrong with this methodology.
Not at all.
With this fabulous methodology that gives us these highly accurate ratings.
No cheating involved.
It could be, when a press release is embargoed, it means they sent it out, but you're not allowed to use the information until a set date. Are they preventing the Baltimore people from talking?
There is no rating. There are no ratings in Baltimore. Nobody got the ratings. Okay, who wants to bet when the ratings are going to be released in Baltimore?
Crazy, I bet! No!
Mike.
I wasn't quick enough.
Betting ended.
Yeah. Well, that's not fair.
Well, Washington's not embargoed, and we have our ratings here for WJFK-FM for our afternoon show. And once again, we just have to say, and really we mean this, to all of the BM eaters out there, thank you. Stellar job.
Yeah, really happy day here at the radio station. Everybody's very psyched.
That our overall ratings, the beauty pageant, we went 4.9 to 6.0.
That's a hell of a jump there. Yeah.
Which means if you add it up now, since we took over three ratings books ago, when the other guys were on, they had a 2.2 and they were in 18th place.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went to a 4.2, 6th place, then 4.9, 5th place,
okay.
Now 6.0, 3rd place.
Here we are on our way.
Yeah. So it's happening. The money demo that we care about, the adults 25-54.
Money!
You guys just weren't listening hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone from a 2.3, that's what we inherited, 17th place.
Right.
Then to a 5.7, then to a 6.3, and from this book, from a 6.3 to a 7.6.
Where does that rank?
Only number two.
Number two.
Only number two in adults 25-54.
Well, we're close.
Mm-hmm. And then, this is a great book. I'm kidding just because I'm sleep deprived.
Yeah, the ratings are terrific. Yeah. We couldn't be happier.
Men 18 plus. When we took the shift back, we inherited a 3.6.
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to a 6.9, a 7.0, and this book went to a 9.3.
There you go.
That would be good for a number one.
Thank you.
War or no war for the news station. And men and women 18-34. When we came back to afternoons, we inherited a 3.9. Then you guys gave us in the next three readings books a 7.1, a 9.3, and this time a 10.3, which is number one rated.
That is terrific.
So it's not quite where we're used to being. We can't play that tape yet that says number one Arbitron rated.
Nope, not yet, but we're on the way.
We're only up to number three.
And I think we're within striking distance.
I agree. And there's a very nice memo, and I want to make sure that for those of you here in D.C., that you call our buddies Ron and Fez tonight, because they had good ratings as well.
Yeah. Way to go, Ron and Fez.
Well,
please.
Let me see. Ron and Fez up to, 1.6 to 2.2, and then men from a 2.3 to a 4. Great numbers for Ron and Fez. I mean,
okay.
Really. I like the way the memo was written.
How is it written?
Because everybody had good ratings. Howard was up. Even Dumb O'Reilly was up. we were way up. Ron and Fez were up. But then it says, after all that stuff, every show went up. And it's a great Don and Mike success story in spite of WTOP's war ratings book.
That's good. And that's true. And, you know, around the country, all news stations, due to the conflict over there, did very, very well. And that's what we were fighting against.
Men, so to speak. Men 18 plus, Don and Mike 70-93 first place. WTOP second. Men 25-54, Don and Mike 8.1 to 11.5 for number one. WTOP, number two. So we're going to be having a station party because everybody's ratings were great. And
Thanks so much, everybody. Really, in, it doesn't get old. It really doesn't. No. And the fact that people still support this show in this town the way they do blows me away. I'm never, never anything but amazed at how well we do here.
And the numbers in Sacramento, I know we just blew by them on Friday because they came in at the last minute, but I was talking to the program director, of which we pulled a good joke on. You'll hear that. You know, our show is up to number two in the beauty pageant, 12 plus.
Yep.
In Sacramento, and number one in all the demos. So thank you out there also. Yeah. Speaking of Friday's show, before we move on, just a little in our rearview mirror. Bob Levy, I'm going to bring this up for 1 second. Just read you an email response that somebody got from Bob Levy.
Very good.
Now, we've received a lot of these today, and I'll tell you, I've just selected one, and please take me on my word that this is a very fair representation of what Bob Levy is emailing to the listeners of this show who have emailed him.
Very good.
You know, and you know, I don't want to sound like that George Bush tape, you know, like he with the kids in the candy store, and he started it.
But he did.
But he really did start it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Wrote in his online column last week that anyone who listens to our show is a retarded 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, here's the letter that the guy wrote to Bob Levy. Who are you, Mr. Levy? How dare you? I read your column regarding the Don and Mike show. I understand you're feuding with them and have done so for years. You're upset that Don donated $975 more than you to your own cause last year? Is that true? Was your donation only $25? Let me tell you why I'm so upset. Your column states that all Don and Mike listeners are, quote, retarded 3-year-olds, unquote, according to you. I am a retarded 3-year-old. I'll tell you, I'm an educated professional in the 30 to 35-year age range, make over $45,000 a year. I've been enjoying the Don and Mike show in my office for 7 years. They make me laugh and I listen. You're an offensive nobody, Mr. Levy. You're a columnist. Your column is placed with the comics. A column in a newspaper I will never read again. Do you actually think you're someone special? How many people read your column every week? How many people listen to the Don and Mike show every day? I'm willing to place $200 towards your summer camp if the numbers...
Page two. Wherever it is.
Hold on. If the number... Well, anyway, I don't get the second page. I got his reply.
You get the idea.
So, here is Bob...
And it goes on like that. And it's not no bad language.
Here is Bob Levy's reply.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Dan, I give and have given far more to send a kid to camp than Don and Mike. They are liars, and they know it. My column is one of the top 3 rated features in the Washington Post. It's on the comics page because that's where I want it to run.
Wow.
It's not there because the editors are trying to diminish the worth. The column is read by more than 1.2 million people a day. I'm sure that puts me in the same range as the sainted Don and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for writing.
He's bitter.
God, he is.
Now, you know, we're called petty. That's really petty.
Yeah.
The funniest part in this whole thing is it's on the comics page because that's where I want it to run. Yeah, like any serious journalist says. Let me see. Front page of the Metro section, front page of the Style section.
Now, put me next to Beetle Bailey.
Put me on the op-ed page. Maybe put me next to the TV listings. Put me next to the celebrity gossip. No, you know what? I want to be by the jumble. I want to be by the horoscopes.
That was after the classifieds turned him down.
So anyway, you know, this Bob Levy thing, and this is from Dan. Dear Don and Mike, I sent an email to that big hump Bob Levy Friday. He actually responded. I can't believe he was dumb enough to write this to me. Please find his response. Oh, God. And then there's more responses. Let me see. I regret... Using here's his response to someone else about the retarded 3-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
Dear, what is his name? Lisa. Dear Lisa, I regret using that expression very much. Thanks for calling me on it. I'm happy to apologize. As for getting me good, What kind of people would put someone on the air without telling him who they are and without alerting him to the fact that they are on the air? Is this what you call entertainment? Okay, now someone has to hip Bob to the fact that his voice was never on the radio.
That's right.
Yeah, so he was not put on the air.
And you're not breaking any FCC regulation by calling somebody up using the handset and speaking to them on the telephone.
Right.
That just shows, again, like with the ratings, how little Bob Levy, who chooses to be on the comics page of the Washington Post, actually knows about radio, which is a business that obviously he likes dangling his feet in the water of.
Sure. Sure. And, he is somebody that is very bitter, and it's obvious, and it's fun.
It's funny. And, we're more than willing to stop it. We didn't start it this year.
He just brought it up out of the blue. We hadn't mentioned Bob Levy on this show for a few years.
No. And there it is. Anyway, we're getting all the letters from everybody. Thank you for writing him. And, please continue to do so in a...
in a respectful way. Yes.
Yeah, in a nice, as intelligent as possible way, and see if you get a good response from him.
Like, really, don't give him the fodder that he wants, by laying all the profanities on him, because that just gives him material.
Because the best line of all this from Bob Levy is, well, first off, I have given far more to send a kid to camp than Don and Mike. I gave $1,000. So, Bob, being as you sent this to Dan Banowitz and he sent it to me, here on the public airwaves, I would request an accounting. How much have you given $1,000 over the last however many years you've done the Send a Kid into Camp campaign? They are liars and they know it. Mm-hmm. Again, Bob, what are we liars about?
Mm-hmm.
What are we lying about, Bob?
Right.
I'll tell you what a lie is, though. A lie is saying my column is on the comics page because that's where I want it to run. That's what a lie is.
He gets to decide.
Yeah, like he makes the decision as to where his column's going to run.
It's like being a disc jockey and saying, no, I could have done mornings, I could have done afternoons. I choose to do the overnight weekend shift.
I'd really like to be on from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m.
on Sunday mornings. That's my choice.
Right.
So anyway, that's the latest with Bob Levy, and thank you for the great Arbitron ratings in Sacramento and here in D.C. It's wonderful. As soon as Baltimore has the embargo lifted, we'll let you know what's happening up there. Hello, Don Mike Show.
Always something.
Hey, Radio God.
Hey, my friend. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I want to know, what are the Arbitrons for the Legacy? That is where I am calling from, sir.
Well, we had that last week, and the news was not nearly as good.
Exactly the same, 2.7 to 2.7.
Okay, and there's absolutely nothing we can do to keep you guys here.
Well, unless there's an incredible groundswell of public support, and unless a bolt of lightning hits Tim Sabian in the head between now and the beginning of September, I don't know, my friend.
We got to get Sabian, huh?
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about that again, about that George Costanza thing on Seinfeld, where he doesn't want to marry Susan.
Right.
And he talks about getting on a plane and going to China and, put her on a plane. And Jerry says to me, so you're hoping for a plane crash? And George says, well, it could happen.
It could happen.
We might stay on in Philly. I don't know. But our ratings were not stellar there. I mean, we're barely in the top 15. And that's just the way it is.
I know you guys don't usually do this, but before I close, you want to hear a quick joke?
No. Place bets now on how fast I'll hang up on this guy.
Right now.
He seems
right now. I already made it.
Right
now. I already made it. We're doing it right now.
Quick.
Good thing to end.
Mike, you're right, because you went to Banzai.com.
Good, I got my bet in.
I hung up on him before the guy said, no more bets.
That's a good thing.
No more bets.
No more bets.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Howdy.
How you guys doing?
We're doing very well, thanks.
Good, good. I just wanted to thank you again for coming to Sacramento. This is Marcus from Sacramento. I was one of the three people there with the signs when you guys first got off.
Now listen, let's be honest, and I'm not going to blow smoke. There were about 30 people, but there were only three with signs.
Yes.
That's very true.
That is true.
And those poor people, I was humbled, as I'm sure you would have been, Mike. I was grateful, but at the same time...
A reception committee.
At the same time, I wanted to shake them and say, what in God's name are you doing at an airport on a 100-degree day at 11 o'clock in the morning?
You were humbled, but your humbleness was only exceeded by your bewilderment. Because it was really odd, and it was so nice, but it was almost uncomfortable.
Nice! When we're getting off the plane, And Sacramento is not exactly like a hub for any big airline. So you get off.
It's a barn, isn't it?
You get off the airplane, you go down an escalator, and that's where people are. Mm-hmm. And when we left the airplane, Rob said, "Hey, you know what? With 9/11 security, you're not going to be able to come up to the gate unless you have a ticket."
Right.
And I said, "Oh, wow, that's great." And then as we started to get towards the area where the escalator was, I said, maybe nobody's down there.
Yeah.
And I kind of peeked around the corner, and I saw these signs. Welcome to Sacramento.
Run!
Welcome to Sacramento.
Run for your lives.
So I actually did, for just a brief moment, I did turn and run. And I said to Rob, maybe if we went to another terminal, you know, if we like took, if we ran around and got on a tram. Mm-hmm.
Even to Sacramentoans, no. That would be cruel.
Yeah, it would. And the people were very nice, but, you know. Well-meaning and wonderful and just weird. I mean, like the one guy had like his wife and they must have had how many, 5 kids, Rob?
That, yeah.
The one guy with 5 kids.
Yeah.
She was saying, oh, I made him take me out here, and the kids were just miserable. It was hot.
Well, they had a pretty good Saturday plan.
And the little kids were just like, come on here, why are we here? And the mom's like, shut up. Now, shut up. Listen, I told you.
Shut up.
No ice cream if you don't shut up. Now stop it. Hi, Don. How are you? I mean, it was...
Oh, a little scary.
It was surreal. They were very nice people.
You were attraction.
5 kids standing on pavement in 102-degree weather, and they said, can we take your picture? And, of course. And then,
sure.
And then, all right, kids, let's get back to the car. That's the trip to the airport.
And that truly was it.
Oh, wow. To Walmart.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hi.
Hello? Hey, Don. What's happening?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, I want to thank you very much for coming out. I got a nice left handshake from you. And I had Robbie sign my Fast Times cover. You guys remember me? Remember what you wrote, Robbie?
Oh, yes. Eat Big Hairy P.
All right.
Right on.
I just want to say thank you guys very much. You are a great show.
Thank you. You're a great person to wait in line.
So into it out there.
Man, we have people. How many people are in that club? 200, 300, Rob?
I think it was closer to 4 because it was a 500 capacity club and it was pretty full.
People waited, you know, this is amazing. People waited in line because they could, you know, they just put us at a table.
Mm-hmm.
People actually waited in line just to come up and say hello, which just blew my mind.
Yeah. So you just had a line of people, like an assembly line coming up to say hello?
Yeah, and they had ropes and everything. And,
wow,
like,
that's great.
They were yelling at people, if people cut in line.
I wish I'd been there.
Oh, F you.
You know what was funny, though, is you say there's ropes. I know you picture, like, at a bank, like,
uh-huh. Right.
Velvet rope. This was literally rope.
Real rope.
This was, like,
yeah, real
line.
Rope with wood.
Yeah.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, Don.
Hey.
Hey, guy, I just wanted to compliment you on your suit choice. It's 100-degree weather, and he comes out in all black, straight-looking Guido. And then Rob came out and looked like he just shook his sport coat out of his duffel bag.
Were you doing the mafia look?
He was mafioso,
hey,
to
a
T.
Listen, hey, douche.
Yeah, buddy.
What kind of T-shirt were you wearing?
I had a striped polo on.
Okay. I'll point out to you, since obviously you know nothing about fashion.
Go for it.
That was an Armani suit. It was not black. It was dark blue.
Yeah, it was Armani. I asked you.
And it was that. Beautiful.
Until it was gorgeous.
It was beautiful until some guy spilled 5 beers on it.
Oh, no.
I am not kidding about that either.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I did all this. I did, oh, you know, last 7 months, you heard me talk about it. Lose weight.
Right.
So finally, I buy myself a real nice,
right,
Ben Affleck type suit, and I get in the car with Rob, and I was like, wow, that's a sharp suit. He's like, oh, Armani.
Hey, man, you can't get any better than that.
Because, you know, I told my wife, if I lose all this weight, I'm going to buy a nice fancy suit.
Sure.
I get there. I'm there for, I don't know, a half hour. We go to sit down. Rob, of course, had his 4 empty or semi-empty Beck's bottles in front of us.
Halfway there, Rob.
And the good people from Coors came by.
Yeah.
They were a sponsor. They were upset that we didn't have any Coors sitting out, so they put like 3 or 4 bottles of Coors in front of us.
Distributors do that. Yeah.
And then some guy came over, and he said, I felt real bad for this guy, even though he spilled all this on me. He said, hey, I know that you can't shake hands, so I just want to lean over. I just want to kind of tap you on the shoulder. And with his left arm, he leaned over, and boom, 5 full bottles of beer,
bam,
all over me.
That's when it became a special day.
And, it's, you know, the best spill ever is when a full new bottle of beer goes over, because
right.
The foam,
yes, the
it
froth.
Almost propelled.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it got up to Don's shoulder. It was a sight.
It's over his head.
Wow. It was.
It was nuts.
Oh, you're looking sharp, buddy.
Oh, I think I'm in love with you.
This is did he say he thinks he's in love with you?
Yes, he did. Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Pal.
Don and Mike show. Hello. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
I am.
Yes.
Wow, hi. My name is Fern, and I'm calling from Sacramento.
Fern?
And, yes.
Hi, Fern.
Like the plant?
Yes, Fern.
My fiancé, Jeff, met you. He's the lone little black man that stood in line, and he had to shake Rob, and Rob touched a black guy and had to go wash his hands afterwards.
Well, now, there was more than one brother there, but go ahead. How many?
Anyway,
I counted three.
Rob counted three black guys there.
Oh, my gosh, three. How amazing. I was wondering if you could just say a special hi to him because he really does listen to your show and he just really adores you guys.
Are you, is this a salt and pepper marriage?
Yes, I am a white girl.
You're Caucasian?
Yes, I am.
And what's his name?
His name is Jeff.
Well, Jeff,
how charmingly ghetto.
There you go.
Jeff,
once again, a black man.
There you go. Bye-bye. See you later.
Jeff and Fern.
Okay. Well, I think what we'll do is just start the tape here in the next break and tell you what we did as we went through our...
I think the call segment went well.
36 hours of love in Sacramento and love on an airplane.
The minefield.
And there was love in an elevator.
Oh, no.
Really?
No, I mean, there was... Yeah. I'll tell you. Hello,
Don and Mike. Is this something you want to admit to?
Oh, no. Mike, when I say love, I'm being facetious. There was hate in the elevator.
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Well, we're doing great, thanks.
Awesome. I know this is kind of off the wall, but on the Bob Levy thing...
Yeah.
2 years ago, or it might have been a year or 2 years ago when you did the Kids for Camp thing... I mean, I listened to that, and then when you brought him up again a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I kept thinking, where do I know that name from? And it bugged me all week long because I couldn't put my finger on where I knew it from. And then when you mentioned it today, I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. And I just wanted to say, thank you. I know it's kind of off the wall.
I don't get it.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. That's how off the wall it is.
Place bets now until we hang up on this guy because we don't understand what he's saying, okay?
Place that bet now!
Now. Betting Dan's. Hello?
He's gone.
I won.
He hung up, though. I didn't hang up.
Oh. So we both lost, Rob. You said lost. Tom was going to hang up.
He hung up.
Betting the end.
And you cheated, Rob, because you... you didn't cheat, because you could see my hand.
I know.
You could see my good hand.
My hand.
Hey, Don and Mike. Hello?
Hey, Don.
Hello there.
How you doing? We had a great time.
Ah, thank you. Must be from Sacramento.
It's Sacramento. My son was out there with the Do the Dance sign, Do the Dance, and we followed in our Mini Cooper to your Hyatt Regency Hotel.
Ah, they followed
then,
you.
They do like to follow. We followed you the whole way. And then,
we did. Yesterday. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. which is why I will tell you now, they had all kinds of guests at the hotel. Because Sacramento, really, they do love us. But they follow the car, and they try to find the hotel. And I know that I asked when I checked out, I said, did anybody ask for my DJ name, Don Geronimo? Yes. Anybody ask for my real name, Mike Soares? Yes. I said, who else do people ask for? They asked for Danny Ocean, of course. And they asked for George Clooney, of course.
However, who were you registered under?
However, yes, I was Bob Barker.
Ah.
And Robbie was... Rod Roddy.
There you go.
Perfect.
And we were not bothered at all. And again, the fun, like when you call down to room service.
The greatest.
Hello, Mr. Barker.
Mr. Roddy.
Mr. Roddy, we have your table waiting.
We saw you at Club Aqua as well.
Hey, great.
Hey, how come you just didn't shimmy up a tree and, like, spy on me in the hotel room?
Well, I saw you in the bathroom, but I didn't want to go into that part. But the thing that was most fun is just before you got on, they had that gorgeous chick in the white dress who... was making business.
Oh, Lord.
Mike, I will tell you that it was one nice thing, that there were some tees that were being shown.
Yeah.
Oh!
Definitely some boobage in the crowd.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
Lovely udders.
there was some nice ones, and then there were some stretchy ones, but...
Now I'm looking at your friend over here, and I'm seeing a face that tells me maybe not.
No, it was a grab bag.
All right, were they nice boobs? Were they, generally speaking, were they nice boobs or were they stretchy boobs? Place your bets now.
Place your bets now!
Stretchy boobs, nice.
Quick.
And? Mike, you betted?
Stretchy.
Buzz?
I said nice.
And we have a winner because they were both. They were nice and stretchy.
Yay.
Nice and stretchy. Let's clear these out. Get a call 100. Start the show 877-365-3636. Secret sound worth $1,000. We got the bonsai stuff. We got all of this Sacramento stuff that's going to take a while to get through. And, Mike, when we get done with this, Rob and I did come up with what we think is going to be a great Arnold bit that we'll be able to run into the ground for about the next week.
Wonderful.
So we'll do all of that coming up. Be the 100th caller right now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Joe is regretful.
Mm-hmm. Mike, I'm not.
Really?
Question.
Okay.
Are you getting the best value from the wireless phone company? Does your wireless phone keep you connected with everyone important to you?
Well, that's the best reason to call 1-866-SINGULAR and switch over to Singular Wireless. Just listen to the great deals that Singular has for you right now. During their incredible summer phone sale. Pay attention!
Get the cool Nokia 3560 color screen phone for just $29.99 when you sign up for a 2-year service agreement.
Plus, Singular lets you add a line to your plan for just $9.99 per line per month. And plans start at just $39.99.
Astounding! Keep connected all summer long. Switch to Singular Wireless. For home delivery, call Singular at 866-SINGULAR. Go to Singular.com or go to Singular Wireless to remember. That's 1-866-SINGULAR. Yay!
Service restrictions apply. See any Singular store if you need help.
Hi, Joe.
Don and Mike, WKSK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You can't go to China. What about your job?
Job!
So, write a letter, move to another borough, move to Staten Island. It's a lot easier to blend into a sea of people in Staten Island than China, believe me.
Yeah, Staten Island. What about my clothes? How do I get the rest of the clothes?
Well, you come back for your clothes.
I'm not going back in there.
So forget about your clothes.
Well, I'm not starting up a whole new wardrobe now!
Look, freedom and no clothes is a lot better than no freedom with clothes.
Well, should we just take a plane somewhere?
And what, hope for a crash?
It happens.
You know what the odds are on a crash? It's 1,000,000 to 1.
It's something. It's hope.
The Don and Mike Show. Making your kids feel young. Don and Mike.
I was going to call 100. And then get ready for a travelogue.
Right. It'll be the Travel Channel on the show today.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Howdy, you're the 100th caller.
All right.
Yeah, what's your name?
My name is Joseph.
Hi, Joe, where are you from?
I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I listen every day.
Thank you, Joe. And listen to this, Joe. Wow, I mean, it's like Christmas in July. And
wow.
I mean,
yeah, for me it is.
You have won. Is he regretful?
Joe is regretful.
That was a commercial we just did. We're going to have to isolate the beginning of the commercial to go with our Joe tapes. Because the commercial actually started.
Joe.
It said, Joe is regretful. Oh, here it is, right here.
This
is
Joe is regretful.
Joe. Okay, listen, here you go. You've won a month's supply of sausage.
Hey!
Oh, wow.
Cool.
A month's supply of Oscar Mayer Big Eats Griller sausages.
Oh, man.
That is sweet, man. I like that.
Fresh off the grill at 7-Eleven.
I think I'm cooking that over here today.
Whether you're craving a hot dog, you want to be a little more adventurous. 7-Eleven has it all. And you've also won the game Freedom Pass. That's from your local participating Blockbuster.
Cool.
Go down and get a free game every day for 30 consecutive days with no extended viewing fees. Everybody else, go buy these. $19.99 plus tax. Plus tax. At Blockbuster Video. Now, you play for $1,000 with the secret sound.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm going to play you the sound.
Okay.
Give you 15 seconds to noodle it through, and please don't answer until Mike sings like
Wu-Tang Clan. Mm.
Oh, okay. Rob's second favorite clan.
Mm-hmm.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Okay.
Oh, I love to hear him laugh.
Caller, name this sound.
There it is. And you should have heard that on the airplane.
I'm sure.
Especially after our third Bloody Mary at about 8 a.m. There's the sound, and now here's the clan.
I be tossing, enforcing my style is awesome. I'm causing more family feuds than Richard Dawson.
For $1,000, what is that sound?
Don and Mike, that's the sound of a telephone being hung up, and it's being recorded by the person who's being hung up on.
I love the fact that you were so assertive.
Yeah.
And it pains me to say
that I'm wrong.
That's not even...
We're sorry.
Wrong! Not even close. Thank you, though.
It's what I thought. I thank you anyway, Don and Mike.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
Don't forget, every guest is
it's a clue for you.
Clue for you. Okay, here we go. The journey.
Yes. Where do you begin?
The trip to Sacramento. Here we go. Okay. Starts at 5 a.m.
5?
Got up at about 4:15. Even though, you know, it's packed the night before. Got up, took care of the dogs, got the house in order, waiting for Robbie to come. Here he comes, 5 a.m. You got it loaded? Oh, yeah, I'd just like to play this tape, and then we'll there you go, load that up. Now, look at this, I got more mobility in my hand now.
Yeah,
went back to the doctor today and got just... These two fingers, the middle two fingers are broken.
Splinted. Yeah, you messed your wrist up too, right?
Or... Yeah, my wrist is fractured.
Ooh.
So there's a cast on my wrist, and the two fingers are broken, but now they're just in a splint.
Yeah.
So, la-da-da-da-da-da.
I was careful there.
Well, I have more mobility.
I forgot about the wrist, and I was going to ask you, I said, why, you know, was that just for looks? But no, then I
wow. Yeah. That's, the wrist is in a cast. But it's much better.
I still think that guy that came out here and played that game, litigate.
So here's Rob picking me up at 5 a.m. Saturday morning.
Hey.
Morning, Jack.
Good morning, Jack. I didn't realize you'd be taping at this early hour.
I told you I would. It's only 5:11.
Oh, well, then let's let the dogs out.
This is in your house.
Yeah.
Come on. God damn it, Jack.
You are a great clock.
No, you are a great driver.
You guys sound so funny.
I cannot believe we are getting up. I got up at 4:15 a.m.
4:10.
All right, Jack.
That's nice.
Is that morning?
Yeah, I told him turn it off.
That's funny. You didn't want to perform.
No more tapes.
Yeah.
And the dogs were going crazy when Rob pulled up, and
you just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
No, it's like, you know, I'm not going to put on a show for you.
Okay, it was me, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You were knowing that these tapes are going to be played for me
at 5 a.m.
All right. Well, you know, we got a little bit of that.
So we get to the airport. Now, our flight left Baltimore Washington International from Minneapolis at 6:45.
Mm.
Rob actually made pretty good time driving up to Baltimore.
Nobody on the road, right?
Right, but even with Rob, you know, it's still, he's got that Amish in him.
Yeah.
That you know, even when the speed limit got to 65,
he got a little nervous.
He dares to go 67.
Wow.
Okay, you know, and I know he only did it because I was in the car.
Right.
He only really
normally he'd be double nickels. He's pushing.
Yeah. He's Johnny Dangerous because I'm in the car. He's right. 60.
Was he in the left lane ever? Or just the middle?
Not enough cars.
Right.
It saved lives, Mike. 55.
Yeah, I know.
Saved lives.
I know.
We get to the airport and we figure out, we'll get a daily parking. Because then we don't have to take one of those buses that we took when we went to Iceland.
Exactly, right.
And, I mean, we've got this thing made because we get out of the car, we take a brief walk over this little walkway, and there's Northwest Airlines.
Perfect.
Right there. Even though they don't fly to the Northwest, it's called Northwest Airlines. And being in, you know, I bought us first class tickets, so there's like a mile long line, but we walk right up to the little place, and the lady could not have been bitchier. Well, everybody,
she's up early too.
Everybody else at Northwest Airlines, including Vicky, want to say hi to Vicky. What a great stew she was. What a great waitress.
Huh.
But this lady that was at the counter, we give her our e-tickets. She says, okay, I need photo ID. Do you have any bags to check? No, no, no. Here it is. Now it's 6:10. Flight leaves at 6:45. Quote. Rob wrote it down. Now, see, this is another weird thing because of my cast.
Right.
I couldn't write anything down.
No.
So I was constantly saying to Rob, because I love taking notes, so yes. I remember what to say on the air. Yeah. I kept saying to Rob, hey, write this down. Write down exactly what she said.
So this is the lady at the counter?
Yes. And I'll give you the tone also. She gives us the tickets. The entire process took 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at our ID, asking if we had anything to check, says, gate D4. can't promise you'll make your plane. And I turned around and I said, excuse me? I can't promise you'll make your plane. Just like that. And I said, why? She said, security. You should have gotten here much earlier. And then a third time, as we are walking away, we've ended the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Just like to get our attention. I can't promise you'll make your plane. Rob?
Yeah.
Back me up on this.
Absolutely. Wow. And then, you know.
Not helpful at all.
Noisy in an airport, you hear just over the din. Good luck.
But really, she didn't want to offer.
No, she wanted you to
miss the plane. Her tone was basically, you might as well drive back home.
Right.
You're not going to make it.
And not having any fun at all.
No.
This is where.
Can't believe at 6 o'clock in an airport she wasn't in a better mood.
This is where we are able to beat the system.
Huh?
We walk through the area where you go to get screened with 9/11 and all the screening process, and really, and our own dumb mistake for not arriving earlier, really, she was right. It was just her tone that pissed me off.
Sure.
But there had to be 400 people in line, ooh, in like a Disneyland line that goes up and down and back and forth. It went all the way back to that lounge.
Do you remember the lounge we were in when we flew to Iceland? There's
yes,
like
I
a
do.
Hall,
yeah.
And back down that hall.
Right.
Security was down that hall, the line to even. There was a line to get in the back and forth line.
At that hour?
Yeah.
Well, everybody leaving on a Saturday morning.
So we're looking at our watches now. It's about 6:15, 6:18, something like that. And we are never going to make it through.
Mm.
So, you know, the engine, mother is the engine
necessity.
Necessity.
It's the mother of invention.
Yeah.
That's right.
Anyway, I walk right up front because I see they got a thing that says they got a picture of a wheelchair, and if you need special access, you can go through this special entrance.
Right.
So I go right.
Start up, walking with a limp.
No, I walk right up to the guy. Although that happened later, I walked right up to the guy and I said, "This is when I had the full cast
right.
on my head. I got part of it cut off today." But I walked up to the guy and. Hi, excuse me. As you can plainly see, my hand is in a cast, and I'm having trouble carrying my bag. I have just a shoulder bag and a garment bag.
Right, this is brilliant.
I said, and I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to make it carrying this all the way through the line. And this guy, without even giving a 2 seconds thought, said, hold on just 1 second. Waited a moment, wrote something down, and said, go right on through.
Wow. Beautiful.
So we got absolutely zero waiting time in line.
Wow.
My jaw dropped.
How did Rob get in?
All I could say was, this is what I said, is I'm his attendant.
Is that what you said?
And I was right with him.
Oh, wow.
Now,
otherwise, you guys wouldn't have made the flight.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow.
I will tell you that later, when we were coming back, when we were, I think, in Minneapolis, waiting to go to Baltimore.
Right.
There was this deal where, at this point, I was really, like I'm not now, but really, really overtired yesterday afternoon.
Right.
And we were waiting at this airport for an hour and a half, and they started announcing that they were going to be boarding soon, but they were letting kids on the plane. And they were kids that were flying by themselves, but they were kids that were 16 and 17 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, I said to Rob, well, no, this isn't right. They're letting, these kids are old enough to have sex.
You said, old enough to have sex, old enough to wait in line.
Mm-hmm.
And then they announced, well, we're going to be boarding anyone with special needs. So, I get up,
lift the arm up.
I get up towards the lady, and I swear to God, this time,
yep.
I do the limp, too. I go with a limp, and she goes, we're not boarding right now. I said, oh, but look, I've got a cast on my hand. I said, and my leg. And she didn't even, because she did go right ahead. And I said, my nurse.
My nurse. Did you say nurse?
Yes, I did.
Your nurse.
But that was on the way back. So now, the cast, it gets us through security right away.
Beautiful.
The line was down.
You know what people are going to do now?
Everybody's going to try to get a cast.
They're going to buy those casts.
We got, when we timed it, from the time we left our car to the time we were sitting in the airplane, 11 minutes.
Really?
11 yeah. minutes.
Incredible.
Thanks to this cast.
Otherwise, you'd still be in Baltimore.
Otherwise, we would have missed the plane,
yeah.
Which is something that I'll tell you about later.
Mm.
So, we get on the plane, and right away, it's like 6:25. What would you like to drink? Everybody else around us. coffee, orange juice.
Right.
Both Rob and I said at the same time, Bloody Mary, please.
There you go.
We must have had, by Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, we were on our third Bloody Mary.
Well, you boys said that you were going to do it that way. Mm-hmm.
And we did.
And how were they on Northwest?
You know, it's an airline.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they cheap you on the booze.
Right.
Yeah, but that's why you have to order three.
Gilby's
right.
Vodka.
Bowman's. Because that's the rationale you use. You say to yourself,
enjoy your gin vodka.
Well, they use bad booze, and they don't give you a lot of it, so.
Your gin or your vodka.
We better have three of them.
Kirkland brand clear liquor.
It tastes like a little like vodka, a little like grain alcohol.
So we're on the plane on the way to Minneapolis. We have just finished off our third, both of us drinking side by side, our third Bloody Mary, and feeling pretty good at this point. You know, we got up at 4, but it's about 8. We're drunk.
Your time management is probably setting the table for you both to crash and burn,
yeah.
Not on the plane, but probably about the time you're going to go to that appearance.
So we were feeling no pain at like 8 a.m.
Right.
And I said to Rob, you know what? Between the coffee I had before you arrived in my house and that liter of water that I drank and these three drinks, God, I got to pee. Rob said, well, there it is right there. So as I was unbuckling my safety belt, and again, I'm not lying.
Crazy, I'm bitch! No!
There's a Chinaman. There's a Chinaman who has to be, if he's one day, he's 90. And I am not kidding. He's right. One of these old guys that has age spots everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Pants are pulled up beyond his breast line. A corduroy hat.
Right.
A cane. Mm-hmm. And an equally old woman who's walking behind him, and the guy is moving at a speed slower than you could possibly imagine.
And he's heading up to the restroom also?
Yes. Oh. His body bent in places the human body should not bend, and he was wearing a nice... It was also, remember, like 85 degrees on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He was bundled up in a sweater.
Well, he's old.
Now, yeah. The lady, now,
and how?
He, as he managed to hobble by... One of the stews says, this is for first class only. And the woman with him... Really, she starts talking like this, and we figure out what she's saying is, well, we're just like in row number 6 right back there, and he can't make it all the way back to the end of the airplane.
He's infirmed.
So I said to Rob, well, I guess I got to tie in a knot. The old man goes inside. Now, the door never... shuts quite all the way.
Oh, dear.
The woman, the old lady, the old China lady, she's just kind of, she's positioned herself between the area with the food
right.
and the magazines, and she's just kind of guarding.
Okay.
And I'm looking at my watch as time goes on, because I really have to go to the
Are you hearing waterfalls at this point?
No, I don't hear anything. The guy was in there the first time. His first time was he 10 minutes or 12 minutes?
I think he turned around at 12.
12 minutes. We timed about 12 minutes. Finally, because I've got to go like a racehorse, and I can't go the other way because they got the beverage cart out.
Right.
So I'm stuck. I'm like sitting in my seat going, God, I'm really...
Do you think he was doing number one, or was he dropping the kids off at the pool?
I have an answer, and you will not like the answer.
Oh, no.
He gets done. He comes out... And she takes his arm, and, you know, and they move very, very... Rob and I are in the second row, but it takes them forever just to get from the bathroom...
Some people move very slowly.
...to where we are. It was a very old guy. I'm sure he was there when they built the Great Wall. That's how old this guy is. I say to Rob, whew, man, do I have to go. I'll see you in a second. I go in that bathroom... Now, I'm going to try to say this without getting deleted out.
Okay.
There is S.
Oh, no.
There is... I walk in... There is S. There is S on the toilet bowl.
Oh, no.
There is S on the toilet seat.
Oh, no.
There is S on pieces of toilet paper that are next to the toilet,
oh.
On the floor.
Oh, my God.
And on the sink.
Oh. On the sink?
on the sink. There's a piece of toilet paper.
Oh, God.
Stained on the sink.
Oh, man.
And think about it. This is a very old, frail, you know, G. Gordon Liddy-like guy.
Probably very, very fortunate that he can even make it in there and
so,
do his business.
This is where the friendship with Vicky the stewardess started up. Because I opened the door. Now, the door was never shut the whole time the old guy was in there.
Right.
I opened the door, and I go, oh. And I turn around, and I said to her, this lady, Vicky, the stew, I said, I think you better take a look in there.
Oh.
And she said, and I don't know if she thought I was going to complain that the soap wasn't there. She said, you know, I tell people all the time that this is a first-class bathroom, and I know people think we're snobs, but really, you pay for the privilege, and you really shouldn't have to wait. And she watched, she just, oh, Jesus!
Is that what she said?
Just like that. She went right in mid-sentence. She went, you know, and really, you people, you pay the extra, and that's why you get the meal, and that's why you get... Oh, Jesus! She comes out, and she goes, when did you see this? I said, just now. I just walked in.
Did she say it in such a way that was maybe accusatory towards you?
No.
Did you feel defensive, though, at that moment?
A little bit.
I hate that situation.
Yeah.
When
she wasn't accusing me.
It's like, when did you see it? When I finished.
No, listen, waitress, as soon as I called you over, that's when I saw it. And she said, oh, well, that's awful. And then I found out what they do in these situations.
What?
She got on the little telephone, and, you know, there's a real hierarchy, even in the sky.
Right?
Yeah. She calls the lady. There are two waitresses in first class, and there's one waitress for the rest of the plane.
And she calls, doled it out to somebody else?
She calls the waitress who's back there in coach, and I'm standing there because I have to go to the bathroom, and I hear her on the phone. Yeah, hi, this is Vicky. Hi, yeah, I have a situation up here. Can you come up, join me? Thank you. All right, bye-bye. Hangs up the phone. She goes, it'll just be a minute.
Do you think she did that because they came from coach? Do you think maybe that's why that she was looking to... Was it a revenge assignment?
No, we found later on the flight that this is the hierarchy.
Wow.
This is the difference between being a first-class waitress and
she's probably the first attendant, right, that runs the whole thing.
So she says, now I'm standing there, and she says... She's very accusatorily towards this lady. She said, the man in row 6 is obviously very old, and no one has a problem with him using... I'm listening to what I'm saying. No one has a problem with him using the bathroom, but he couldn't even clean himself. I mean, there's ass all over the place. Go ahead, take a look at it yourself if you don't believe me, and I'm not going to get there and clean it up, and this gentleman's waiting to use the bathroom. They've got all these people going to use the bathroom, and someone's going to have to clean it up. I'm not going to clean it up. I just got up. She's preparing breakfast. Joni's preparing breakfast. I'm not going to clean it up. I'm listening to this.
And so she's selling the fact that she doesn't want to get in there and get her hands
dirty. The other woman just says, okay.
Did they put on gloves?
I'll handle it. Well, she walked in. She just walked in and took a look out, and then she walked right out. She walked in, took a look around. She goes, oh, turned around, put on big plastic gloves.
Right.
Got a mop. One of these little things that would like a telescoping, you know.
Right. I'm starting to get queasy now that you're talking. It was.
I mean, I'm not.
It must have been really unbelievable.
It looked to me like.
Was there any appreciable odor when he walked out of the bathroom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like as he walked down the.
Oh no! It was all in the bathroom. And it looked like. And I was mentioning this to Vicky as we were discussing this, as her coworker was cleaning it up. Vicky said, "How do you think that happened?" I said, well, look at him. He's very frail. I imagine he probably doesn't have enough flexibility to sit. He was probably, like, squatting, and it was...
Trying to aim.
It's coming out everywhere, and
oh.
I said...
Oh.
And the wiping, you know, I mean, I was so familiar with this stew by this point, I said, you know, hell, even really, I got a cast on my hand. Wiping is an issue for me.
Oh, God. You said that to her?
Yeah.
Wow.
When we were talking, I've had three Bloody Marys. It was 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay?
Kind of free with the discussion. Look at this cast. Smell this cast.
But I managed to do a good job with my left hand.
Right.
So the lady goes in, and she cleans it up, and says, fresh as a daisy. And she goes back, and then Vicky says, it's all yours. So I go in, and I, you know, all I want to do is go number one.
Right.
That's all I want to do. So I go number one.
Did you show Vicky how clean it was when you got done? Vicky, come in here. Take a look at this. Now, this is how a young, vital man goes to the bathroom.
I did not. However, I will tell you, before we break, that
before we landed in Minneapolis, the old Chinese guy had to use the bathroom again. And this is what I heard as his handler was walking him down the aisle. Vicky said, and now keep in mind that since this happened, they actually got on the intercom and made an announcement. They said,
thank you, everybody. Vicky
said,
hi, this is Vicky. I'm your main flight attendant. I want to remind you the first class bathroom is for just the first class passengers only.
Mm-hmm.
There are two bathrooms in the rear of the plane. Again, first class bathroom for first class passengers only.
So he makes his way up.
He does it again.
Now, this is what I hear Vicky, the stewardess, say to the lady. And then she's trying to be polite. The guy's coming up, and they don't speak a lot of English, and the old guy is just making a beeline in his own slow way for the bathroom. And Vicky says, now we can't have what happened before happen again. Now, the woman who's with him, she doesn't know.
Right.
He make a mess.
She doesn't know. So I hear Vicky explaining to her, and the woman's not following.
Right.
She's saying, well, there was defecation everywhere. It was on the seat, and it was on the area next, and it was on the changing table where you change your baby's diapers, and there was the bathroom tissue and toilet tissue. And finally what Vicky made this woman do was, the guy went into the bathroom, and Vicky made the Chinese lady, with the door open, just a crack, if you'll pardon the pun, stand and watch the guy.
Wow.
As he went to the bathroom. And I'm guessing he just went number one. Because as they walked back down, Vicky leaned over and said, it's safe to use the bathroom again. So,
and did you just use it, cause even though you didn't have to?
No, I did not go back in.
You didn't go back in.
I did not go back.
Wow.
Now, we did run into Vicky later on our flight back.
Huh.
As it turns out, when we were leaving Sacramento at 6:30 a.m. yesterday morning...
Was Vicky in Sacramento?
Yes. Guess that she was on the flight from Baltimore, then switched to the flight from Minneapolis to Sacramento.
Oh, the whole way with you?
The whole way. And then when we were in line to come back...
She was doing a turnaround.
She said, hey, it's the guy with the broken hand. And I said, hey, it's the lady that cleaned up the air.
Well, it sounds like Vicky was... a pretty stellar flight attendant.
Yeah.
But she had her plane in control.
She was nice. We liked her, didn't we, Rob?
You know, the flight was part of the weekend.
And that's great, because that could have been the worst part.
So anyway, that's okay. That's that. We got a break. I'll play you some tape of us getting out there. And,
no Vicky on the tape, though, huh?
We never turned on the tape recorder.
Celebrity Vicky most resembles...
I had it, Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live.
Oh. Victoria Jackson from Saturday, blonde.
Yeah.
Yeah, hair up.
Big eyes.
Yeah, kind of, not fat,
right.
But, you know, pleasingly plump.
Mm-hmm.
And, listen, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. None of us look great at 5 a.m.
Right.
She looked like, if you're asking, yes, I would.
Good. For those of you listening, I just asked Don that question non-verbally. I just gave him that kind of look that says, would you do her?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, in a bathroom full of ass.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Chinese style.
Have to pay extra for that.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk. I wanted to believe... And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over, and I couldn't. So what?
The Don and Mike Show.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Did you wash the ass today?
Creating their legacy. Don and Mike.
All right, hold on. Here's the guy who spilled all the beer on me. He's right from Sacramento. Bruce, hello.
Hello there, Don. How you doing today?
He sounds like a guy that would spill beer on you.
Hi there.
Well, thank you very much, Mike.
No problem, pal.
You were missed.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, just wanted to say thanks, and I was the one wearing the shirt. You thought my name was Jake, but that's fine. And I just wanted to tell you again how much I appreciated meeting you and that I open my own business to clear out my afternoons to listen to you.
Thank you. And thank you for spilling beer on me.
And
you
then proceeded to spill beer on you.
You are a great listener. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
That opened his own business so he could modify his schedule to listen to this show? How about that?
All right. I didn't bother to ask him what the business was.
That's special.
He's a crack dealer.
I work independently for myself right now. I'm a professional peeping Tom.
I tell you, there was one guy, there was so many people that we met over the weekend in Sacramento, but one guy out of demo, an older guy who was like early 60s,
right,
been waiting in line for hours, came up and said, I'm standing there, I'm sitting, and he goes, Don, I'm baby stepping, I'm doing the work, and I realized...
The old guy said that?
Yes. He has a goldfish in a jar hanging around his neck, and he has a blue shirt, and he has used yellow tape to write the words, don't hassle me, I'm on vacation. The exact same outfit that Bill Murray wears. In that
What
movie.
About Bob?
What about Bob? And he has a fish in a mason jar tied with string around his neck.
Wow. It's a different world out there, isn't it?
It sure is.
We have tremendous support for this show here in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But I try to explain this to people, that in Sacramento, the show it's just received differently.
Yeah.
People go nuts.
You should have been there.
They hang on it.
You should have been there.
I mean, it's great. In a way, it's terrific, but in another way, it's not terrific.
And if there is a next time, you will be there.
Oh, yeah.
I promise. If there is a next time, you will be there.
I'd be glad to go.
You're shaking your head no. So... We're in Minneapolis, and I promise I'm going to get you the tape first, but there was so much stuff that happened before we got to Sacramento. We're in Minneapolis, and we got a layover. Great place to have a layover in Minneapolis. Rob loved it. No Negroes anywhere.
Oh, God. Jesus.
As white as the day is long.
That's true.
And the people are, friendly, and they got that whole upper Midwest, how you doing?
Is it a nice airport?
Yeah, it's
Minneapolis.
It's a very nice airport. Lots of nice stores.
It's a shopping mall. Yeah, that's
like
my
a mall.
Kind of airport. All right.
So, Rob is making his calls, and I'm making my calls, and at one point I said to Rob, I'm going to get us some cash, because there was an ATM nearby, and I just got on the phone with my wife. Rob's going to call his wife, and the Bloody Marys have worn off by now. We're at Minneapolis. We're sober.
Are you cranky, maybe, because they've worn off?
Not yet.
No, we're still in relatively good spirit.
All right, very good.
I go over by the ATM. Now, Rob's on the phone with his wife, and there is a guy. I'd peg him to be mid-50s, very Minnesotan-looking, down vest. Again, even though it's like 80 degrees, he's got a down vest on, and he's got his Timberlake shoes on, and he puts his card into the ATM. And the entire time Rob is on the telephone, this guy, and at first I think he must want to do something like move money from one account to another.
Right.
The truth is, he can't figure it out.
Oh,
and
no. Man, I can't stand that.
Rob's on the phone with his wife for 5 minutes when I'm standing behind this guy, and I'm pointing at him, and Rob's about 20 feet away, and I'm pointing at him going, he doesn't know how to work it.
You know, in this day and age, it boggles my mind.
No excuse, really.
So
that somebody wouldn't be able to figure those out.
I'm kind of hovering over this guy's shoulder. Because, I just want to get like, $30 out and move along. And
meanwhile, I'm giving Carrie a play-by-play.
Of the guy trying to figure it out.
This is a floor show. No, watching Don watch the guy. Don is just tapping his foot.
Getting angry.
It was cool that Carrie got the play-by-play.
So the guy finally figures out that I'm... like 2 inches behind him, and he turns around and he goes, oh, again, very nice. Oh, hello there. Did you want to use this machine? This machine? I said, yes.
They are nice people in Minnesota.
He said, I cannot figure out how to use it. I said, I'd be glad to show you. So he steps aside. I say, okay, put your card in like this. It's got a little picture. Mm-hmm. Put it in. He says, yeah, I did that. And I said, they're right here. On the screen, I'm walking this guy through. I said, it says, withdrawal, deposit. He said, what's that button over there? I said, that's if you want it in another language. He said, oh, that's why I was getting it not in English.
Wow.
But the guy had started down the wrong road by pressing the button that said...
He could have probably taken all his cash.
The guy... And when I went back to the screen and showed him, I said, see, it says deposit, withdrawal, press here for directions in Spanish, press here for directions in... I think they had French as well.
Probably, yeah.
And... It's in American. I mean, it's in English.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's written in a foreign language and you press the button and it all comes up in French.
Did he strike you as just coming in from the Great White North or something like that?
Again, I don't know. He sat there and he said, so then after I explained to him, he said, can I watch you? And I said, sure.
Before he has to get back to International Falls?
I said, sure, you can watch me because I'm sure you can do this too. And I've been showing the guy, you put your card in like this, see how the picture of the stripe is? Put it with a stripe on the bottom.
Right.
Put it inside. And then it says, enter your PIN number. He said, now what's the PIN number?
Oh, my God.
I said, that's your four-digit code. And the guy says to me, I swear to God, nice as can be, what's your number? I said, well, I can't tell you what my number is because it's a secret. And then I said, but I'm going to punch it in now and watch what I do. And I kind of put my arm over it and...
Thinking that at this point, maybe he's a scam artist.
And No.
A friendly scam artist.
No, I know he's just an old dumb guy. And as I put my arm over, he goes, well, now how am I going to see what you're doing if you're hiding what you're doing? I said, I'm punching in my number, but I don't want you to know what the number is. Why? I don't have your card.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, Mike, really. This was just a very... dumb old guy.
Wow.
I said, it's a matter of privacy. I said, I've already punched my number in. Then I push enter. And then what happens? He said, now it says, if I want to make a deposit or withdrawal, I push withdrawal. And I'm walking him through all of this. And Rob's on the telephone watching. And I say, look, it even shows you $20, $40, $60, $100. I said, all you got to do is just press the buttons. Voila. And I'm there like 20 seconds. And I get out my $40, and my card comes back, and I get the receipt, and I go, good luck. And he says, very earnestly, he says, thank you for helping me. I said, you're welcome. And we started to walk away, and as we started to walk away, the guy said, what was the first thing I do again? I said, push the button on the right, sir. Push the button on the right. Okay.
He was there for the rest of the afternoon.
Really? A guy, you know, wow. The thought crossed my mind, too. Maybe he's a scam artist. Maybe he's trying to get my PIN number.
Right.
But, no, he genuinely was just...
Have you checked your account today?
Yes, I did. We got Sacramento. He genuinely was just a very dumb old guy.
I see a cash withdrawal of $10,000.
So, we get to Sacramento. I'm going to wait and tell you about... the Arnold bit that we came up with on the airplane, which I love. We get to Sacramento, and now the fun stuff will start. When we arrive at the airport, and I think we have some tape of this,
yeah.
So you can hear this, Mike. The arrival. Here we go. The arrival.
Just getting off the plane.
Is this getting off the plane, Rob?
This is in the plane. That's disembarking.
Okay, here we are. Disembarking in Sacramento.
This is actually on the plane. You want to
see on the
plane. I want to hear on the plane.
You recorded something on the plane. Oh, yeah, you're right. On the plane.
Your next trip, Northwest Airlines, off with 2
Here we are. Option. Check in and take a boarding pass on our website at
nwa.com. Off the camera.
Off the camera.
This is
what
they do on a plane,
ladies and gentlemen.
Love this town.
Sacramento.
It's flat.
Okay.
Hope security doesn't keep the people away from the gate.
Me too, Rob.
Okay.
You know, I flew back from Iceland with these two across the way from me, and that's what you hear. You hear this sound a lot during the year.
Here we are.
Here we go.
Disembarking. Getting off the airplane.
Are you ready?
That's you.
Well, here it is. A short 8 hours. After we left Don's house.
Over here, Rob, and it's 100 degrees. And
my God.
Wow.
Looks like no one has been allowed to come back to where we are.
It's a security issue, I bet. So, officially,
no one is here to see us. That is great.
But you know what else that means?
What?
That means Dennis Murphy was a bigger draw than you.
It was before 9/11, but I'll live with it.
It was a different world, Don.
I'll live with it, Rob.
You're walking.
You're
now
going to have to.
We're walking, talking into Rob's video camera as we got off the airplane because no one was there.
Right, right, okay.
And then we go to the part by the escalators where I'm seeing the people with the signs, and eventually I said, Rob, call Jody, call the girl from the station, find out where she is.
Do we have the raw reaction on the tape?
I don't think Rob was recording.
The cheering?
Well, oh, yeah. you'll hear some of it.
Okay.
Here you go.
Yeah, very quick. Hi, friends. Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
Sacramento.
Hello. Hello.
There they are.
Thank you. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Hey, Robin.
Such a Sacramento greeting. No. Far be it for them to actually applaud or anything. We're like...
Like I said, about 30 people out there.
Right. But, you know, even 30 people, if they put their hands together, that wasn't it. Was it smirking? Was there a lot of smirking?
No, and Mike, no, it would. Please don't take that tone with these people. These good people. It wasn't smirking. It was just
staring.
Yeah, it was like looking at a car wreck.
There you go.
You know, it's like, there they are.
Like a lot of people going, there they are.
There they are.
Yeah.
That's them. They're here. One or two guys had signs that said, you know, welcome to Sacramento. It was very nice that we get in the car, and this is then, and we'll play you the tape of this, because this is part of the best part of this trip, was what happened to the program director.
Very good.
And this was brought on by Joe D.
Perhaps, Joe D.
Perhaps you remember Joe D.
Oh, how's Joe D? How could I forget her?
She's looking fantastic.
You know, now there you go. Now there's motivation for me to go back.
From our last trip to Sacramento, we were met by station representative and all-around great gal and part-time whore, Jody.
Oh, God.
Jody, who was turning tricks the night before in San Francisco.
Oh, no.
She was up all night and, you know, had the boozy breath going. And
did she? Really?
I'm so pissed. That's why I went to bed at 4:15 in the morning. I had to drive all the way from San Francisco just to come get you guys. Just because Mike Ramey wants me to come get you.
Oh, wow. Ramey.
But she managed to look stunning.
Good.
She pulled herself together. We got into the car. And that's where the fun started. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I open the curtain. I see this gentleman sitting on a service cart, sitting down, with his pants down to his ankles, relieving himself. And I said, sir, this is not a bathroom. Excuse me, sir, this is not a bathroom. Imagine a small room and a grown man defecating in that small room and spreading it all over. Imagine that smell. You can't hide it. It was very bad. Very bad.
Come and taste their friendship. The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, so now, let me just preface this by saying, I knew everybody that came out at Club Agua. KHTK just contacted us. Actually, 2 breaks ago. So they had over 500 people.
Wow.
Show up for this little impromptu thing.
That's great.
The club held 500 people, and the fire marshal was there.
Mm-hmm.
It was nuts. A lot of very nice people. And we Kid Sacramento. But, well, you'll hear the tape, what happened.
Very good.
So
the tape speaks for itself.
We get to the airport. We see the people with the signs. We get in the car.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.
And I don't know how this idea hatched. I can't take credit. I think Rob can't take credit. I think maybe Jody can take credit. It was kind of like just a community effort. She's got to call the program director to tell the program director that we've arrived and we're on the way to the hotel.
Right.
However, after talking to Jody, who was the KHTK like assistant program people, she immediately told us of her disdain for the program director.
Ah, yes, Mr. Ramey.
She showed us on her cell phone. You know how you can put people's names in?
Right. Yes.
When you dial his cell phone on hers, it says monkey cell. Indicating she's calling the monkey on her cell phone.
Calling him a monkey.
And she said a lot of stuff that I'm sure she wouldn't want repeated on the air, but some of it's on the tape. So it's decided that she's going to call Mike Remy, the program director, and she's going to tell him a tale. She's going to tell him that our plane was broken when we got to Minneapolis.
Right.
And that I'm very mad because you know me, I'm an a-hole, and that, F it, I'm not even going to come out to Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Rob will come out. But I've paid for Rob's ticket already, and that plane is broken.
That's good, though, because it's more believable you know, having a scenario like that.
And, incidentally, just to fly Rob out, or if I can do it, it's going to cost $6,000. Now, keep in mind that they've not paid a dime. I've paid for us to fly out there. But and I know that getting money from this company is impossible.
Sure.
And they're in Infinity Station. And she does this better. She must really hate this guy. Because she does it better than any lying game we could have played. Here is her first call. She was the first of two or three calls to Mike Remy by Joe D.
Very good.
In the car after we've landed while we're on our way to the Hyatt Regency.
Good.
Which is it? Number two?
No, it's in, it should be number two. Is it not there?
I press the button and nothing's happening.
No.
Hold on.
All right. I know it couldn't be the equipment, Rob.
No, I'm pretty sure the CD player.
Hey, is Mike around? Thanks. Hey, Mike, it's Jody. Hey, you know how Goss is out at the remote right now? We might have problems with Don and Rob. Their plane had problems, and so still stuck in Minneapolis. Yeah, and so they're not sure what time they're going to be getting in.
Rob wants to move this to another machine so the quality will be better.
Okay, all right, no problem.
But keep in mind,
she's good. She's very good.
Yeah. As she's making this call to the program director, we're sitting in the car right next to her.
And we're on our way to the hotel.
Well, I'm sure you guys probably enjoyed that. I mean, Joey's always been very nice to us.
We loved him.
Yeah, and so they're not sure what time they're going to be getting in. We just came out to the airport and we just found out. Well, Northwest, I guess they're trying to get a plane flown up so that they can get all those passengers from Minneapolis to Sacramento.
Yeah, I think you can hear in the background.
Are you guys whispering?
I'm saying to her, you're fantastic.
Right.
That she's doing, she's just chewing her gum and, you know, looking at her rings and looking at her watch the whole time, just lying. And I said to Rob later, there was a part of me wondering if we were being played.
Right.
If this was some type of joke being played on us. But
like
no.
Reverse joke, like a double agent joke.
As you'll find out, everybody at the station hates this guy.
Okay.
Because we had to involve the promotion director and the board operators and everybody on this.
You get the impression she's lied to him before.
Oh, my God.
Really, like a violin gets played.
And she would say,
dude,
so many times. Okay, back to Jody. Calling Mike Remy, the program director, while we're in the car with her.
Okay. So Rob was saying that there's other planes that they could get on, like other carriers besides Northwest, since they don't know when they're going to be able to get the flight up there. But what he was wondering is if they could just, if the station would take care of the expenses to get them from Minneapolis up here to Sacramento. Do you want to call Doug or somebody?
Doug is the general manager. Who is in Hawaii. So he knows that Doug, the general manager, that Mike Ramey is not going to call him because he's in Hawaii.
Oh, this is sweet.
No, he's in Hawaii. That's great. Drinking a Mai Tai, and we have Don and Rob stuck in Minneapolis. Great.
Boy, she's fooling him. He's stupid.
Well, because Northwest is getting another plane up there. They're trying to get them into Minneapolis right now. But they have to get another plane there, so they don't know how long it's going to take to get from wherever Northwest is flying the plane to Minneapolis to get them to Sacramento. So Rob's not sure what time they're going to get into.
Perfect.
So tell Rob to go, that it's a go. Do whatever to get him here by 5. And if for some reason, like, they're not able to get on a flight, then what do you want to do? Oh, that'd be great. Talk about a riot. Okay, hold on. Rob's calling me. I'll call you right back, okay? Bye. Dumbass.
You're outstanding.
That was fantastic.
You are outstanding.
The greatest thing is
stupid.
I'm going to let him stress off of it because he's dumb.
What did he say?
He was like, well, we got to get him out of here. Whatever we got to do, just tell him to do it. We're supposed to have a PO approved, but well, we got to get him out there. And if he can't get here, I guess we'll have to go on the air and say that they have plane troubles in Minneapolis.
Did he appear upset?
Yeah, he's stressed. Monkey is stressed right now.
Yeah. Thank you, Joe D. Joe D.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Hold on. Here's the call. Then she thinks, as we're driving into town, she says, you know what? He believes it. The program director.
Right.
I'm afraid that he's going to call our production director and he's going to call the radio station to tell them to announce that there's a chance that we might not be there.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get this on the air as soon as possible. So she says, let me call the production director, who's going to call the board off, to make sure that they know what's going on. So if Mike Remy calls to say, oh,
wow, the conspiracy.
Put this on the air.
Is she still employed today?
Yeah. To say, if he calls to say, announce that we might not be there, that they'll tell him yes, but they won't really do it.
Right.
I say to her, will they do this? And she says, yes. Everybody hates it. So now, here is Jody calling the board op, the guy who's running the board at KHTK in Sacramento.
Hey, have you gotten a call from the monkey yet? Okay, I just want to let you know that I just called the monkey and told him that John and Robert are stuck in Minneapolis because of plane trouble, and that they're not sure if they're going to be able to get here, and can they just pay for another flight out here? I'm in the car with John and Rob right now. So I just have the monkey stressing right now, so I just want to let you know what's going on. Okay. Exactly. That's what I thought. And I was like, he deserves it. This is what he deserves. He was like, say, I got to get a PO approved.
No, a PO is a purchase order
to pay for tickets.
And in this company, seriously.
It's like, literally like trying to, you get a body exhumed
if you
easier.
Want a pencil, you know.
You cannot get a purchase order, but this guy is so flipped out, he's positive he's going to be able to get a PO
right.
to pay $6,000 to get us out there, even though we're there. I've already paid for it. Here we go.
Get him out here any way you can. All right. So I just want to let you know that everything's really okay. Okay, bye. He said he won't answer his phone, our promotions director. Okay, he said beautiful. That's what he deserves. We won't answer my phone.
But also tell him that I'm pissed.
Don is really pissed and may not go on tonight.
I just want to go home. Is that too much? Would he know that it's a gag?
No. We got to give him a couple more minutes to stress because he's slipping right now.
Right now they're trying to get a flight. And Rob says that I'm being an ass.
And Rob, and you just want to go home.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I just want to go home.
This is great. This is what he deserves.
All right, now there's one more call.
This is what he deserves.
Yeah. Now we're pulling up to the hotel, and she's going to place the second call to the program director. Now that we've already called you, just heard, called the board operator to say, listen, turn off the hotline, turn off your cell phone.
I mean, what a great welcome, though, really. When you think about what would make you guys happy, this has got, you got to be loving this.
Yeah.
This is great when you've flown all the way across the country.
Yep.
You get a nice bit.
Very happy because Jody is just, and she's loving it,
right?
That she's lying to this guy.
And you guys are a great audience. You are a great audience.
Here is her second call to program director Mike Remy. As we're pulling up to the hotel.
Okay. All right. Rob's checking with other carriers right now because Northwest said it could be 2 to 3 hours before they're able to. Saying that if they can't get something soon, that they might as well just go back to D.C. and just F the whole thing. They're at the Minneapolis airport.
Oh.
Oh, yeah, we're still waiting here because I was just waiting to hear back from Rob to see what was going on. Yeah, there were fans out there. As soon as I hear back from Rob, I'll call you.
beautiful.
I'm going to go sleep. I'm going to go sleep in the limo. Dude, I went to bed at 4:15 this morning in San Francisco and had to get up and drive here.
Dude.
Drinking. All right, so.
She's honest.
Okay.
Sometimes.
Bye.
Yeah.
Call and gauge it when you have a site.
Wait. You know, I can understand why Don is pissed, and well, that in the airline industry is just, you know, just so messed up. And well, I can understand if he doesn't want to come out here after he'd have to wait in the airport for so many hours.
Go home then. Keep him going till as long as you'd like.
Yeah, because our promotions director will continue to go with it, and you know he'll be fine with it. And he goes, well, I guess we're just gonna have to go on air and tell him.
This dick is the last guy that needs to know. I mean, right. let him wait until 5 o'clock today.
I don't know. I just want to answer my cell phone for the rest of the day.
Okay, good.
Wow. And did she not? Did he not know until 5 o'clock?
No, I'll tell you now. We have to break, but I'll tell you that. We arrived at 11. She called the program director at 11:15.
Right.
We arrived at the hotel at 11:45. And by then, she'd made all these calls to the program director, to the board op, to the promotions director, and again to the program director. When we got into the hotel, she just made sure that we were checked in under our fake names. She said, okay, I'm going to leave. I'll see you guys tonight. She said to me, how long do you want me to do this? I said, it's up to you. If it was my show, if I'm running the show, I say, let it go another hour.
Right.
Because that would be until like 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'll let it go till at least 3. I'm going to let him flip out for at least 3 more hours.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to go turn my phone off and go home and go to sleep. I'll see you guys at the club. And then she leaves, and it was... It was a good scam.
Right.
You know, I forgot to pull it on a card. Do you want me to bring up my voicemail so you can hear the message you left me in the hotel?
Yeah, can you real
quick? Oh, that is funny.
Because now here's...
So we've got now a phone message left by stressing out Mike Ramey.
Yeah, and I played this on the microphone to the crowd
right
at Club Aqua in Sacramento with this guy there. And now keep in mind, when our car pulled up in front of this club and this program director got out, he looked so... It was a combination of anger and relief.
Right.
He said, hey, wow, you guys just had a great book. Wow, this is the best ratings you've had in 5 years. You are just such an a-hole. The whole time smiling,
right.
You know, like
yeah.
trying to be my friend, but going, you know, that really wasn't funny what you did. That I was going to go on the air and announce that you weren't going to come out here.
I'd love to hear about the fallout from it. I'd love to hear Joey's side of the story, what happened to him.
Yeah.
Rob, are you getting you pulling it up?
Okay.
As soon as Rob gets it, I'll punch it up here.
This is him all stressed out.
Yeah, this is him calling Rob at 2:30. So they've kept him going. But listen to this. Even when he calls Rob, he's not outwardly mad.
Right.
From phone number 91.
Yeah. Don't worry.
8. Okay. Received July 19th at 2:32 p.m.
Hey, Rob, Mike Ramey. Just checking on your progress. I understand you are having some terrible plane trouble. Anyway, keep Jody or I. Once again, my cell phone is 916.
Okay. Wow. Oh, God.
I hope the day gets better for you.
Now I feel bad for the guy.
Don't.
He's a jerk off.
Oh, my God.
Don't feel bad for him.
No, just I hope the day gets better for you. And, you know, like,
today was
having the worst day of his life.
The day was fine for us, but
oh, that's great.
We were up in our rooms. I was watching that John Travolta, Sam Jackson movie, Basic.
Wow.
So
3 o'clock, she let him know, huh?
3:30,
she let him know?
Yeah.
Did she tell you what his reaction was when she...
She said he was not happy.
Oh, really?
She said he was not happy. And his greeting to us indicated the fact that he was mad,
mm-hmm.
but so many people knew about it, he couldn't be mad.
Yeah,
and it was
that's
like,
excellent.
Hey, great rating, great. As he's shaking my hand, and he's going, you're really an a-hole. You really have me going with that. I didn't think you were going to show him. Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's,
and then, you know, all the people from the station are just eating this up with you.
Right, notes. Right. They enjoy themselves.
Yeah, loving it. Everybody at the station is in on this gag. So now we've arrived... At Club Aqua. I want to talk about the hotel, too. We'll break. Tell you about the hotel, and then I have actual tape of people saying hello to you and Rob doing the Sacramento dance.
Very good.
In front of the people at Club Aqua in Sac. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And in my club, I will splash the pot whenever the f*** I please.
The Don and Mike Show. Always the exception to every rule ever made. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, I told you at the beginning of the show today, we're trying not to dwell on this, but thank you, Washington, D.C., for the great Arbitron ratings today. That, it's our third full rating book back in the afternoon drives. You guys, our rating went from a 4.9 to a 6.0. Wow. You guys rock! Which means over 9 months we moved from 18th place to third.
And it is great to be back in this time slot, and we are really, really happy that Washington has given us these ratings again.
Yeah, the money demo, adults 25-54, you guys went 6-3 to 7-6. Second place, men 18-plus, number one with a 9-3. Men and women 18 to 34, number one with a 10.3. Men 25-54, number one with an 8.7.
Fantastic.
These are not as good as the glory days, but we're getting there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get them back.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'll take a 4.9 to a 6 any spring book. So
they're, and you know what? In a very familiar feeling, one that we haven't had really because it's been the building process, they're kind of bouncing off the walls in this building
today,
which is kind of nice to see, and I appreciate everybody here. I really do, as much as I hate to say it, the people that have had kind words to say about about the ratings here. It's very nice for people to acknowledge that.
Have you?
It doesn't happen that much.
I've not heard it from anybody.
I've heard it from a couple of people. You know,
you
hear it from the big guy. I mean, he came by. That's his job to come by.
Yeah, but I've heard it from nobody else. Please, please. I'm waiting.
Ladies and gentlemen of WJFK.
Shower me. No, stay away from me. Stay away from me.
He likes it.
Stay away from me. Now, Baltimore.
Shower you with praise.
Shower.
Shower down with praise.
You know, that they would do that gladly.
They would. Yes.
They'd tie me down and shower me with praise.
Yes, and it would be a golden moment for you.
Baltimore is no longer embargoed.
Oh, good.
The ratings are out.
Huh.
Now, I don't have like, all listeners 12 and over.
Well, why not?
I only can give you what they sent.
Well, all right.
So, men.
I sounded more cranky than Don.
And I got like 1 hour of sleep, and you got all weekend. Men, 25 to 54. Where are we? 5.1 to 7.3. Number three in the market. And incidentally, 98 Rock. Let me see where they are. What's our call letters? Oh, that's right. They're behind us. 6.6, number four.
Oh.
Nice beating you in one book. Men 18 to 49. Don and Mike Show, 6.9 to 8.1.
Mm-hmm.
That's third place. 98 Rock, fourth place. Too bad for 98 Rock. how about men 35 to 54?
How about them?
Station had, when they played rap, a 2.7, 15th place. Now a 6.4, third place, 98 Rock. See you back there in fifth place. Bye-bye. Men 25 to 49, that's a good demo. Went 5.7 to 7.8.
Good.
Sixth to third, 98 Rock. Oh, bye, fourth place.
I'd like to see the beauty pageant numbers.
Well, maybe they'll send them down now,
hopefully.
Mike. Men 35 plus, I'm just reading these as I get them. 1.8 to a 4.2.
Good.
And 98 Rock. Still beating them. Even though in that one we only have a 4.2.
Right.
We're still beating 98 Rock.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Men 25 plus. 3.9 to 5.4. That's fifth place. Poor 98 Rock. They're in seventh place.
Oh,
now here's a money demo, and I've not pre-looked at this. Adults 25-54. Man,
oh, that is a good one. All right.
This is where we will make our money. From a 4.0 to a 4.7.
Okay.
So we're in the top five. First book in Baltimore on
FM. Wonderful.
98 Rock. I'm sorry. You're in eighth place.
Aww.
Oh, bye-bye. And adults 35 to 54. WXYV 2.2 to a 3.9. So that's from 15th to 8th. W-I-Y-Y? Oh, I'm sorry. You're in 12th place.
Now, that's not really good, is it?
I'm sorry. 98 Rock, I'm real sorry. You did all that talk, and you had those T-shirts made that said, Donna Mike sucks, and you really wanted us to get into a war with you. But, gee, I'm sorry. We beat you in the first book.
Yeah, what a shame. Too bad.
The people of Baltimore have spoken. Now we're on to bigger fish. We have to beat whatever WPOC is. Oh, country.
Country.
No problem. And WERQ, that's Brother Radio. Those are the stations we have to beat.
Okay, good. Well, good job, Baltimore. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Baltimore, and thank you, D.C., for those great ratings. And up in Baltimore, we want to thank Bill and Thrill, who do the midday show, who sent us a very nice box of Fuente cigars.
Oh, terrific.
Classy. There you go. Would you like them?
Yeah, I'll take them.
There you go. With my,
Yeah,
I like them, but I got a million of them, so knock yourself out. And to show you how good they are, they left the price on the side. So, they're nice. Thanks.
$10? Wait a minute.
Each.
Wow.
Each, yeah. It's a nice box of cigars. So thank you, Bill and Thrill.
Oh, do you really want these?
No, really. Please take
you
them.
You sure?
I'm positive.
I mean, I know you're into these.
I'm positive. Now, back to Sacramento, where we also had great ratings.
Yes.
We've had great ratings everywhere except Philadelphia.
And
in Philadelphia,
we went up in demographics in Philadelphia.
I know, but that's like what a loser says. I'm sorry. We've called guys on that before.
Well, you're talking to one.
I know. Mike, you're not a loser.
I am a loser.
You are not a loser.
I feel like a loser today.
You would have felt like a winner if you had gone to Sacramento.
I probably would have had a better weekend if I went to Sacramento.
I really wish I had time to hear.
I know. I'm not going to tell you. I don't feel like talking about it. I just had a bad weekend.
Will you tell us tomorrow, please?
I'll tell you off the air.
Tell us tomorrow.
I might tell you tomorrow.
Okay, so now we're at the club. Oh, but before we tell you about the club, just a couple of quick things. We stayed at the Hyatt Regency, which I guess is the nicest hotel in Sacramento.
There's the endorsement they're looking for.
We know because they say this is where the basketball teams come.
Ah, well.
Like when the Lakers come to town and when the, you know, the Bulls come to town, they stay at the Hyatt Regency.
You know, with recent NBA developments, you might want to rephrase the way you just said that.
Right. When they arrive in town, this is where they stay.
All right.
Well, as it turns out, this past weekend in Sacramento, they were having some kind of JonBenet Ramsey-like tournament for kids' gymnastics.
Oh, dear.
And what this involved was children, mainly girls, but boys as well, who I guess were in these regional competitions with very pushy stage mothers and stage fathers.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed that they were all at the Hyatt Regency this weekend.
Lucky you.
And as you walked up and down the hallways, you would see on every door giant signs that the overdriven parents had made saying, you know, Buzz, congratulations in the sectionals. We love you.
Thanks, Mom.
Mom and Dad. There were these signs everywhere. And the kids were wearing the shirt saying, you know, Tiger Pride, Centerville, Iowa, fifth grade tumbling.
So this
team.
Is like a national competition?
Well, it was a regional.
Regional, okay.
It was a regional, and as we found out, a lot of the parents were grizzled veterans, much like the parents who put small children in beauty contests like JonBenet Ramsey's parents.
So these are very intense mommies and daddies.
Yeah.
You said something very telling in the airport when we were probably at our crabbiest, when you said it's like Best in Show but with kids.
Yeah.
And really, these people were like caricatures.
It really was. On Sunday morning when we were leaving Sacramento very early, when there were these kids, like 12-year-old kids, just with bags under their eyes, wearing their shirts with their ribbons and the stuff, and they're just absolutely asleep on the feet. Yet the parents, the mothers, the fathers, and it was multi-gender.
Driven?
Well, we're off to the regionals in Omaha. Now, have you ever been to the regionals in Omaha? We were there 3 weeks ago. I've been on the road for 33 days. Now, listen. Missy, wake up now. Now tell her about the award. This was a real conversation between two mothers.
Oh, right. My.
Tell her about the award you just won. Tell her. And the kid goes, I don't remember, Mom. I don't remember. Oh, she's just being too modest. She won the President's Council on Physical Fitness Award. Now the other mother, the fat lady wearing the visor,
yeah,
she says, Yeah, with the pillow. She brought a pillow with her
right.
for the airplane. The other lady says, oh, well, isn't that the award that every kid gets in school if you just do jumping jacks and do somersaults?
The other mother's like being catty.
So the first mother goes, oh, no, it's a special award. It's not the one that the other kids get. Isn't that right, honey? And furthermore, she got accepted to the junior high school that we really wanted her to get accepted.
Oh, God.
And she doesn't have to go to the school in our district. And all of this is going on, and the parents are talking about, I haven't been home in 33 days, and the kid is saying, Mom, I'm tired. Here's a power bar. You've got to get your rest because we're going to Omaha. And after we go to Omaha.
And was it gymnastics?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Not exactly gymnastics.
It was, I think, gymnastics, and then from Minneapolis to Baltimore, it was soccer.
Okay.
It was kids with overbearing parents who have pushed them into sports.
Yeah, the sweaty teen league.
Yeah. So these kids are running all over the hotel the whole time that we're there.
There was one, I got to tell you this one thing. The kid, when the ladies were talking in the airport in Sacramento, one of them, I'll just say the kid was named John. I don't know what his name was. Well, John's not here, and he's got that growth on his neck again, and they don't know what it is. And remember, he took medication last year at sectionals and performed badly on medication. So they're not going to have it looked at yet.
You know, speaking of
that's an absolute fact.
Speaking of soccer and traveling, my nephew, who has been playing soccer since he was a little kid, went over to Europe, and I think they won the Italy Cup over there for this club level.
Cool.
But I didn't get this from my left. This is a very brief message my sister left. She wasn't with him. He went over with this team. He said apparently they had a match in Paris, and all she said at the very end was there was some sort of brawl between the American team and the French team at the end. I'm going to get more information on that and find out what happened. But there was some fight that broke out at the end.
Get those American kids out of here.
You don't think of a soccer as a game where there'd be a brawl.
You don't think of, like, gymnastics as something as this. And the thing is, you're tumbling. You have these moms that were living vicariously through these poor, tired children with the bags under their eyes. And these people were everywhere.
That is awesome. My daughter is awesome.
Yeah, there was a lady from Texas who kept saying that. This has been an awesome weekend. Jody performed awesomely. We are going to the sectionals in Omaha. Oh, yes. And you will. And she would look at the little girl. She would go, and you are going to be awesome. Will you go? You are going to be awesome.
Awesome.
Wow.
These people are nuts. So,
too much caffeine.
When we get back, and I'm going to get down to the tape of this stuff, but I have to tell you something. Another unique California moment. When we got back to the hotel after the appearance, I wanted to go up to my room and take off my beer-soaked jacket.
Of course.
Rob and I were going to eat in the hotel. I said, let me just go up to the room and take my jacket off.
Right.
Awesome.
Now, I had a cigar in my hand. The cigar was not lit.
Okay.
It was a cigar that I had been smoking in the car from the club to the hotel, about a 30-minute drive. And I know that California's got all these uptight no-smoking-anywhere laws.
Isn't it the state in the union that is the most anti-smoking?
So I purposely put the cigar out in the little ashtray in the car, walk into the lobby with Rob. I said, I'm just going to go up and take off this jacket. I'll be down in 2 seconds. I've got half this cigar unlit in my hand, so I'm not going to throw it away. It's a good, expensive cigar. As I'm standing there waiting for the elevator, one of these overzealous, pumped-up dads with his goddamn litter of acrobats says to me, and Rob is absolute evidence of this, he says, and he's standing about 10 feet away, it's so crowded, the people are jammed into getting these elevators, he says, is that a cigar? I hold it up, I go, not lit. He said, no smoking in California. I said, it's not lit. He said, no smoking. And I held it up again. I said, not lit. He said, bad role model. There's all these kids around. You're being a bad role model. And I said, they don't know who I am. I'm a guy in a suit with a cigar that's not lit. And as the doors shut, all I heard was him saying, bad role model.
Oh, God.
That was he at all lighthearted about it?
No,
all?
I mean, he was pissed, and I got my revenge.
Ooh.
Because I went up to the room, took my jacket off, left the rest of the cigar in the room, come back in the elevator, I'm going down. Of course, it's stopping on every floor because there's nothing but these caffeined-up Mountain Dew out of their mind, little goddamn gymnastic acrobats with their awesome parents. So we're stopping on every floor. And I'm thinking, you know, Jesus, Rob's going nuts. I said I would just take my jacket off and I'm on the ninth floor. I'm stopping. We get to the second floor and the doors open and guess who's there?
Ah, Super Dad.
The role model. And the doors open up. And he's actually afraid to get into the elevator.
Good.
Now, I don't have the cigar anymore. And I want to say again, it wasn't lit.
Right.
He's standing there. There are other people in the elevator with me. I said, why don't you get on in? We can talk all the way down about what a good role model you are. He said, that's all right. I'll catch the next one. I said, really, friend? There's plenty of room. There was four or five other people. He said, no, I'll get the next one. I said, now, that's not being a good role model. You should get on the elevator. You should help conserve energy. Why, another elevator is going to have to, and as I'm doing this, the doors are closing, and I just stuck my finger out, stuck my hand out, and just gave him the finger,
good.
And pulled my arm back at the last minute as the door is shut, and I realized I had done this in front of a mom and about five little, mini acrobats in training.
Oh, dear. Enemy now.
And I had the finger, and I just turned around, and I said, and I realized, now, I could only do it with one hand, because this hand is in the cast, right? My right hand. I swear to God, I still got my hand in the finger. And I turn around and I go, hey, listen, this is not what it seems. And I'm still holding my hand. My left
and they're
hand
all looking at you like you're Satan.
Yeah, the left hand is still giving the finger. You see, that guy said that I'm not a role model.
Right.
Because I had I'm sorry that I gave her the finger. I'm sorry that I gave her the finger.
Were they understanding or not?
No, the woman, she was nice. She laughed. She said, I'm not from here. And right. I said, I'm not from here either.
And the kids didn't care because they had to run and get in the pool and drip in the lobby. Which was, the whole lobby smelled like chlorine.
Really?
The whole time we were there because kids are running around.
Kids in a hotel, nothing you can do about it. They get excited.
Drink caffeine, go in the pool, and then drip in the gift shop.
One more thing before I play the actual tape of our appearance at Club Aqua in Sacramento. When we were coming back,
right,
as I mentioned, very early on Sunday, yesterday morning, 6 a.m., we're standing in line to go through the security, and we hear a voice behind us saying, hey, it's the guy with the broken hand. And I turn around, and it's Vicky.
Flight attendant?
It's the same flight crew that we had flown out with. So we're talking with them, and we're laughing about the China guy that went to the bathroom all over the place, and she introduces us to the woman that's going to be working the coach section of the plane. And this woman, this other Stu, who we had not met, said, Vicky was telling me about you, telling me how nice, how funny you guys are, and that you broke your hand with a baseball bat. Well, do you think I should go to a doctor to see my hand? Now, she holds out her right hand, and it is from her thumb to her forefinger and in her entire palm, absolutely black and blue.
Mm-hmm.
She says,
and huge.
Yeah, I mean, it was a big hand to begin with,
mm-hmm.
But it was big. She said, it's not as puffy as it was a couple of days ago, but it really hurts. Rob said to her, you should go see a doctor, because if your hand is broken, which it might be, there's a very good chance that the bones won't heal correctly.
Right.
And she says to Rob, are you a doctor? And Rob says,
no, I'm a disc jockey.
But I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express.
I know it sounds like a joke, but it's true.
Yeah.
How did she damage her hand? Did you find that out?
I don't think. Do you remember? Did she ever tell us?
Probably got it stuck in the oven. Fridge.
All right, she was big. She was big.
Sweetheart, though.
But during the entire time we were waiting for the plane, she kept coming by and saying,
you are goofy tired,
she
Rob.
She kept coming by and saying,
Rob is so goofy tired.
I don't normally mess up a fat joke. I'm sorry. That was wrong.
She kept coming by and saying, is that really a cast you have on your hand? I said, yes. I said, because I broke some fingers. You have to go see a doctor. Well, I have to fly to Minneapolis. Then I have to fly to Dallas. I said, go to one of those 24-hour places.
I'm still trying to get places. You got it caught in the refrigerator.
And then it ended with, as we got off the airplane, we said goodbye, and, they were all very nice. I said, don't forget, go see a doctor. Right. She said, and by this point, her hand had really turned almost totally purple, the inside of her hand. She said, it's not looking real well. I guess I'll go to the doctor on Tuesday.
Wow.
She kept coming up to first class to, like, show us how it was. And it was all we could do not to say is, you know, you're not going to have a real easy time opening that safety hatch in case of an emergency because she was, I can't move my thumb.
Oh, wow.
She came back.
This hand wasn't like this on the way out, right?
No, I think it happened while she was there.
Yeah.
Oh, so it happened in Sacramento.
Yeah, the previous night.
And she said, last night it was big and puffy. And now, look at it now. And you just put this big...
caught in a door or something.
This big Kathy Bates-like hand.
Wow.
This big, sweaty hand right in your face.
You said she was cute before.
No.
Difference, too.
Vicky was cute.
Oh, Vicky was cute.
And
this
the other one. This is
Kathy Bates.
This is the one that had to clean the S.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right.
This is the one from the back.
Do you think it was it a bruise, or do you think maybe it was some sort of infection that she got from cleaning up the S?
I don't know.
Flesh-eating virus.
Pink finger.
I don't know. And then when we switched, when we switched in Minneapolis, we had a lady, one of the stews, who really looked like she was contemplating suicide the entire time that we were taking off. And it wasn't a phobia thing. She wasn't afraid of flying. She just was very pensive. She would stand with her arms.
She was a flight attendant?
Yeah. And she was frowning an awful lot.
We have a tape of her.
Here she is. At one point, she was carrying a tray with a couple of soft drinks on it. And one of the sweaty soccer kids...
Yeah.
Went by her and didn't even really touch her, just went by her. And she gave him a look that said, really, if you ever do that again...
I will kill you.
I will absolutely take your life.
Wow.
And I said, Rob, I said, hey, take a look at that stew. Do you think that she looks suicidal? And I was not joking. And he said, oh, yes.
When she glared
how
at...
How were her hands?
Well...
Okay.
Lovely.
Dove-like. When she glared at that kid, we looked at each other, and we drew our bottom lips back, like, as if to say, yikes.
Really?
Just like,
so she was scary.
Yeah, we were very well-behaved on that leg of the
flight. She was no Vicky, I'll tell you that. That Vicky was okay.
Vicky sounds great. Yeah. All in all, Northwest gets the thumbs up, huh?
Oh, unless,
they do.
Unless of course, your thumb is broken.
Yeah.
No. Here we go now, Mike, with the last part of this, because I've told you everything else about the trick we played on the program director, about getting out
this
there.
This is the appearance at Club Aqua.
Actually, at the club, here is Rob A. introducing me.
Very good.
We wrote some rules. Here is Rob.
Look at that.
Rob's all jacked up.
And we had a couple of toddies.
Ground rules I need to address. And if we can stick to these, it'll make everything go a lot better. Unfortunately, due to his recent injury, Don will be unable to shake any hands or sign any autographs tonight. I am sorry for any inconvenience. Additionally, please avoid touching Don's arm so as not to complicate his recovery. Also, please do not touch Don's shoulders, back, neck, stomach, face, hair, chest, abdomen, thorax, legs, taint, feet, toes, ass, and especially do not touch his groin. Please do not make any direct eye contact with Don, as this tends to spook him. And finally, try not to breathe around Don. Ladies and gentlemen, the next
listen to that.
That's a good crowd.
Then it gets nuts.
Wow.
Then it cuts out.
Do not breathe around. Do not make direct eye contact as it tends to spook.
Right. Let me start part of this.
That's then funny.
Did you get the part on tape where I asked everybody to say hi to Mike and the F. Dennis
the,
Murphy?
Final cut.
Oh, okay. All right, hold on. Here we go. This might be unairable. Could you beep out all the...
Yeah.
Where is Mike?
See, you can't hear it. Well, the first thing...
I hear, where is Mike?
I said, where's Mike?
I know what you're wondering. Where is
Now, what did you say there?
Get the F off the stage.
Okay.
Some guy just came up on stage.
Unruly.
Way to
throw me under the bus.
Listen, I got to play to the crowd.
I understand. Hey, you know I do the same for you.
I know you would.
Absolutely. Mike doesn't like you.
Mike doesn't like you.
That is great.
I'm here because I like you. Now this is the part where we tell them about the thing with Ramey and we
right.
play the message. Okay, let's break. When we come back, there's two pieces of tape you have to hear.
Okay.
First, it's Rob doing the Sacramento dance.
Excellent.
Now, when we got there, Rob said, as we pulled up, Robbie said to me, "I'm not doing the dance." I said, "Don't do it." He said, "You know, don't do it. It's better if you don't do it." Well, by the time he power drank his seventh beer, he said, "I'll do it."
In less than 2 hours.
And I thought that he was going to give them the PG version. He gave them the X-rated version.
Oh,
he gave
very
them,
good.
He gave them this.
Yes.
And he gave them this.
Yes, right.
And he gave them this. And he gave them this.
Wonderful.
He gave them absolutely everything.
Without you to spur me on, I don't know how I could have gone any further with
it.
You would have been.
And I bet they ate it up, didn't
now,
they?
This is what, and I said this to Rob when we were done. Basically, what he's doing is a dance. Now, I know it's a joke. And I said this to him. I said, in every joke, there's a little truth. It's a joke.
Right.
But basically, what he's doing up there is.
It's an FU dance.
He's doing a dance where he's indicating that he's picking excrement.
Uh-huh.
Out of his behind,
mm-hmm.
and flicking it on them.
Right.
He's getting his jerk on them.
Right.
He's picking his nose and flicking it on them.
Mm-hmm.
He's milking his breasts on them. There's, unless you just absolutely came out and just give everybody individually the finger,
right.
You couldn't do anything more offensive.
And they ate it up.
They loved it. I don't mean they ate it up. I mean,
right.
They, like, standing ovation.
I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't.
Love,
I want to hear that. That's
it.
Great.
Okay, you will. And then I had the crowd say a bunch of stuff to you.
Ah, very good.
And to Buzz.
Good.
And to Dennis Murphy.
Looking forward to
we'll
it.
We'll hear that. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Richard Hayden.
Tommy.
So where's my dad? I thought he was going to meet me at the airport.
He was at the airport this morning, but you weren't on the plane.
He said he had a surprise for me.
Maybe. I guess you should have called.
I did call earlier when using the phone.
Earlier? When was that?
Or later when then I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
The Don and Mike Show.
Raise your bits now! Quick, quick, quick!
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the
mundus. Filling your radio with their intoxicating aroma. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Just cycling through some of these calls. People have been on hold, in some cases, for over a half an hour. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Been waiting 31 minutes. Hi.
Have I really?
Yeah.
Well, the time just flew.
Right.
How you doing? Yeah, I just wanted to tell you to not worry about the ratings in Baltimore, because you guys are going to be number one in God only knows how little time.
Okay.
There's nothing else to listen to down here, and we love you.
It's happening very quickly.
Yeah.
And I would say the listeners of, let me see, who are we beating? WWMX, WLIF, WBAL, WIYY, WHFS, WCBM, WFXB, WQSR. I think all of those people would agree with you. There's nothing to listen to.
Amen, brother.
Thank
there
you.
There really isn't.
All right, thanks.
You guys are awesome. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, and once again, thanks to Baltimore for these great ratings.
Yeah.
It's terrific.
And D.C.
And D.C.
Even better here on WJFM.
And Sacramento.
Last week. Yeah. Correct. So, I'm at Club Aqua with Rob, and Rob is just drunk enough to do the real Sacramento dance.
I am looking forward to hearing this.
With something like this.
And that was, this is really not a show. This is just me here. I want to say hi to all of you guys and thank you for listening. But I know you really want to see the Sacramento Bears. Before I do this, are you people out here?
Yeah, Mike can tell. Rob is already.
Baked.
Yeah.
He is already so hammered. He is upstairs. He had had like four Becks before we went on stage.
Right.
He was absolutely out of his mind.
You know, nothing to eat all day, overtired, have four beers in like 20 minutes. I'll dance for ye.
Oh, he did.
Really unhappy. And when we get an unpleasant call, and we pretend, I love this city. My God said he would have been here anyway. But
he's just getting drunk, Rob, now.
Unpleasant call to Sacramento Dance, and it's mostly my strength.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks again.
It's mostly Mike.
Yeah, I'll let you know if it's real or not. Rob walks up to the microphone.
Now he's really doing it.
You are really getting it. That's it. Now it does get worse.
See, I don't get this.
Duh.
I mean, he's...
Right.
He's doing a dance.
They love it.
But they love it.
Yeah.
The good people of Sacramento.
They do.
Rob Sewag, everybody. You know, let's be honest. There is a little truth in every joke. And, yes, I'm selling Rob out now. I'm selling Mike out now.
There's going to be a lynching.
They don't like you. They just don't like you.
Now I'm trying to tell these people that
they're loving it.
And Rob really don't like them.
They accept that.
But they will have none of it.
That's what's great about the city.
You know what I'm saying from my heart? What's not to like?
What's not to like?
You'd had a couple of thotties, too.
As we drove into my hotel today, and we saw your beautiful array of strip malls, and we saw the giant tires outside of the Firestone dealership, as we went to the, we went past the Krispy Kreme, and we were on the drive-thru Krispy Kreme, and we were hungover 5 years ago here, I'm thinking, what's not to love about Sacramento?
I'll tell you this.
Rob?
I'm falling in love all over again.
Wow.
See, even I'm dissing him. I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. And they don't care.
And it's, you know, what's not to love as I drove in and saw your beautiful strip malls and the Firestone with the giant rubber tire and the
sure
cream. What's not to love?
Right.
But, you know, they, God bless them. They
eat it up.
They were happy.
They love it. And we were, inside the hotel, they got on one of those channels, you know, the Welcome to Sacramento, the viewer's guide.
Yes.
And they should immediately take that off the TV because it's the worst. Robbie, which anchor guy is it that does the hosting?
The Channel 6's George Redding.
Big man.
No.
He does have man teeth.
Right.
He does, and he was wearing a turtleneck just tight enough to feature them.
There you
but
go.
His
Hi,
voice.
This is George Redding. Welcome to Sacramento, where the West starts.
They saw a bit of gold in the 1840s, and it started quite a rush. And they were all headed to Sacramento.
Whether it's fine dining or fine shopping, here in Sacramento, we have Macy's.
Yeah, there you go.
And then you see the mall.
Right.
And one of the anchor stores is the Macy's. Mm-hmm. And then they interview a woman. And she says, I love coming to the West Point Mall. I always feel so safe when I shop at the West Point Mall.
Wonderful.
It's like...
There it is.
The whole thing is... we are steeped in tradition here in Sacramento.
Where the West starts.
Well, with our many festivals, the Gold Rush Festival.
The Asparagus Festival.
Yeah, they didn't even mention that, right?
I remember the Asparagus Festival.
And the Chinese New Year.
Yeah, the Chinese
Weren't they having the Asparagus Festival when we went out there the last time?
There's almost no time in Sacramento that you can't find the Dance of the Lion being done. Sacramento, a great town to live in, to cycle in, to shop in. To walk in.
Well, you know, they're eating it up right now. They are eating it up right now.
So here you go. Here's the last thing before I actually went and spent 2 hours with all of these people that listen to our show. I asked everybody to give greetings to you, Mike.
Very good.
To you, Buzz.
Cool.
And a special greeting to Dennis Murphy, which they all really got into very enthusiastically. This will be the last bit of our recorded presentation today.
Just so we can play this on the radio. Because we're recording this now. Would everybody say, "Hi, Mike," and then either Sacramento loves you or Sacramento hates you?
And I'm giving them the chance here.
Bang.
No, I think you're going to be
surprised.
Pleasantly surprised.
All right, let's see what happens.
Because they didn't do what I thought they would do.
Okay.
But listen to the first response.
All right.
Whatever you'd like to say to Mike on the count of three, okay? One, two, three.
A lot of love in there.
There is.
Now, let's find your applause. How many of you people in Sacramento said Sacramento loves you? Applaud if you said.
Oh, now I'm feeling, bad.
See, there's a lot of love there, Mike.
Find your applause. How many of you said Sacramento hates you?
F them.
You don't mean it. Even those of you who said that, you don't. You don't mean it.
You are tanking too.
Well, listen, I'm going on 2 hours sleep, and I was tanked.
You both were just. Let me tell you, how are you?
What's not to love?
What's not to love?
Well, I dare you to go out there.
No more bets.
You go out.
No more bets.
No more bets. No betting. No more bets. Make that bet now. Sleep.
There's a little more of this. Hold on.
Did someone say F you, Mike? Oh, now that's not nice. But would you please say hello to an innocent bystander as well on the count of three? Would everybody say hi, Buzz? One, two, three.
What was that, heckler? Give us some weed, I think.
Yeah.
Everybody, please, at the count of three, say, "F you, Dennis Murphy."
This was the best one.
I know that one you feel. Okay. One, two, three.
How weird is that? I want to hear that again.
That's the one they did like. That's the one they did like Jingle Singers. I mean, everything else was kind of, you know.
Well, it's the negative energy.
Hi, Buzz. Hey, hi, right. Mike. Yeah. Then it was F you, Dennis Murphy.
Right.
They came
bell.
Together as one.
I know that one you feel. Okay. One, two, three.
That's beautiful.
What
wow.
is that? That is good. All right, that's good. You've been great. And we just say any girls...
The shoulder
get right up to the front of the line.
That's
nice. You have a Donna Mike t-shirt. What do you have underneath the t-shirt?
Oh,
she showed. Yeah. Come on. What the hell?
She got a reaction when she showed it?
Yeah. Nice one.
Now, how can you not love Sacramento, California? You know, I got a place in Ocean City, Maryland that I talk about all the time. And as you drive,
okay, all right, enough of that.
Wait to your end, please.
Okay, all right. It says Sacramento, California, 3,083 miles or whatever it is. And really, that is my second home, and I do love Sacramento. And thank you all for coming out here today. I want to say hi to you. Then we're going to drink, and then let's chat.
Hi, Mike.
Myra.
Oh, wow.
Some people were actually waiting for the 70s song.
I was sitting there and found myself waiting for it to come on, too.
Because I did it again, see the visual. Thank you. You've been great. My time is up. Now, please welcome, singing the impression for you, Climax.
Everybody looked. What were you pointing to? Something in back of you?
He was pointing to a backdrop.
Right. There. Right.
Pointing to absolutely nothing.
And then you went on and spent 2 hours with them.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, and there was no Precious and Few. But everyone had a good time.
Everybody seemed happy. They seemed happy to have you there.
Yeah, I was happy to be there. I was really happy to be there.
That is a great... You know, you can't argue with the response we get on
there. No, sure can't. Next time you're going, if there is a next time.
Well, you know, I think we'd have to go together.
No, I think next time you really got to go by yourself.
Okay.
You've not experienced Sacramento until you experience it alone. You can have a buffer with you.
Yeah.
Like I had Rob as my buffer.
Okay.
You can have a buffer. You can take Robbie or Buzz.
Or both.
We're both. But thank you, and thank you, KHTK. Especially thank you, Jody, who was a very nice
guy. And thank you, for Sacramento, for the love... You know, that you sent my way, and you know, you didn't have to. I appreciate that. I really do.
Yeah. It was nice. See, I told you you'd be pleasantly surprised.
I was very, very, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a crazy. Don't get happy.
Oh, Sarah's on the phone. This is the girl, the first girl to show her teats.
Oh.
Sarah?
Hello.
Hi, honey.
How are you?
You're the first girl that showed your teats, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Lovely. Your husband had that comic book t-shirt on, right?
Yes, he did. Racer X.
Yeah, right. Racer X. It was very nice seeing you.
It was very nice seeing you, and I do have to say you are so gorgeous.
Well, you're right about that, and so are you. What you got under your shirt is real nice, and you started the chain reaction.
Well, thank you.
Started the
anything for Don and Mike.
How
or
did you
say Don and Rob?
How did you enjoy the dance that Rob did?
Oh, I loved it.
There you go.
I loved it.
Yeah. She loved it.
And I just want to say, Mike.
Yes, sweetheart.
We missed you.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. And I felt a little love coming my way, and for that I'm very, very grateful.
And Rob, you have gorgeous, gorgeous kids. I mean, your kids are beautiful.
You brought your kids with you?
Oh, Rob was so drunk he was showing people pictures of his kids.
That's great.
He was showing, thank you, honey. He was showing people pictures of his kids because he had to get out his wallet when the guy came by giving the Hitler stamps.
Oh, no.
I do want to thank everyone for all the lovely gifts.
Yeah, I'll bet.
And I don't know, should we say the best thing I had the chance to autograph?
Yeah.
A gentleman brought a copy of Mein Kampf.
Oh, my God.
You know what he wrote?
No.
Oh,
dear.
It's a real page-turner. God.
You'll be glad to know.
Yeah. He signed your name as well.
Yeah, I did.
Thanks.
He signed your name and
Thanks,
Buzz's.
Pal.
Yeah, you know what? This was the trip where I think I finally nailed Buzz's autograph. I had a lot of practice.
Thanks, Rob.
And that's the other thing that just blew my mind. People would come up and say hi. I'd say, hi, it's great to meet you. I'm sorry I can't sign your autograph because I broke my hand. They go, that's okay. I go, would you like Rob to give you a fake autograph? Oh, yes, please.
That's great.
Standing right in front of people. Rob is just signing my name, your name, Buzz's.
Nobody does it better. He signs it better than we do.
He does.
And, you know, and the quality didn't matter.
Mm-hmm. No.
After a while, like when Rob was on his eighth beer.
When then the writing was starting to, you know, slope down the
board. It was just kind of all over the place. He said, hey, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mein Kampf. It's a page turner.
Oh, God.
And then some guy comes up and gives Rob these stamps.
Mm-hmm.
That have Hitler's picture
on. Oh, no.
Yeah, and the guy's all proud, like saying to Rob, look at these, are not postmarked. These are very, very rare.
Oh, my. Yeah.
And even at that moment, even Rob was a little embarrassed. Rob just said, okay. And he turned to Jody and said, can we move it along, please?
Yeah, really? I probably just printed them this morning.
Right. It was kind of a nutty moment.
Yeah.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
I'll tell you this, Jack, I'm never doing that again. What is your lead story today, Buzz?
Today, CBS says if people aren't upset, it isn't doing its job.
CBS?
Mm-hmm.
They're
CBS.
They're not the network that runs Banzai.
Raise your bitch now!
That could change.
Quick.
The end.
Quick, quick, quick. All right, stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned. For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. This is all very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Are they strong? Listen, bud, they've got radioactive blood. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Let's start with the news and the comments now with Buzz Girdley.
Someone call for a doctor.
Buzz is brought to you by Veramax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. Get it at 35,000 retail locations. New double-strength Veramax Ultra. Get it by calling 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Call now, 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Now, Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The head of CBS TV says the idea of a reality show based on the Beverly Hillbillies is not dead. Les Moonves says he's still considering the show but hasn't made a decision yet.
Way to go, Les. Come on.
He says he's surprised at the criticism the idea's gotten. Critics say the show would exploit a rural family while perpetuating stereotypes about poor mountain folk.
Listen, I want to tell you something. You don't have to go to West Virginia. Go to Citrus Heights. And you're going to see that those people live.
Right.
That's the other thing that I have to say. And ladies and gentlemen, if you were there last night, Saturday night, I'm sorry, I'm tired. If you were at Club Aqua, I'm talking about somebody else.
Right.
I would be remiss, Mike, if I did not tell you how many different varieties of bad teeth Rob and I saw. We saw chiclet teeth.
Right.
We saw pointed teeth.
Missing teeth?
Oh, absolutely.
Excellent.
I've saw stains on teeth that made the tooth look like a picture frame. They were brown on all the edges, still fairly white in the middle. I don't know if it's a brushing issue.
There you go.
But it was the pointed ones.
Could
really,
be the water.
We saw so many bad teeth at Club Aqua.
I love it.
The pointed ones really, they scare me.
Yeah, they look like they've been filed down.
I forgot to mention, you know who does have great teeth, though?
Ooh.
The KHTK 1140 girls.
Yeah. Yes.
They are very hot, the models they have.
The actresses.
The actresses.
And you get to ride over in the limo with them.
Yeah, we were in the car on the way to
that
the place.
That had to be fun.
They are
bubbly.
The KHTK girls are there. And Rob, who is doing most of the talking, said, so, and I'm glad because I was just not in the mood to chat with, you know, girls covered with glitter.
Your crash had begun just before the limo ride, I believe.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of sitting there wallowing in my own stink.
Right.
And Rob's saying, so, what do you girls do? And one of them says, I'm an actress. And I'm biting my tongue, you know, just, you're an actress. Yeah. You're an actress. Hi, I'm a doctor. How are you doing? Then the other girl says, I'm an actress, too.
Hey!
And Rob says, really? What have you been in? Well, I was in an industrial film for John Deere.
That's good.
And I have an agent in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. And then I jumped in. I said, so, how did you get this gig? And the one girl said, I've been an 1140 girl for 10 years.
Wow. There you go.
I'm the senior 1140 girl. Mm. And I called her because we needed a Latina.
And
I said, oh, well, I love Latinas. She said, yes, we wanted to be racially balanced, so I had to call a Latina, which is why I called my friend.
Oh, wow.
And we applaud that, and you would have thought...
You applaud that, Rob?
Of course. I would have thought you handed them bricks of gold at the end of the night because you gave them a half a bottle of vodka.
Yeah, the booze that was left in the car, which we did not drink.
Right.
There was a gigantic bottle of some kind of vodka, and they said... Do you want this? I said, no. Girls, take it with my best wishes. Like, oh my God, you are so great. Oh my God.
You made the weekend party for
me. Can I believe this? As I am here, covered with glitter, wearing my stilettos and my KHTK tattoo on my arm. Oh my God, I cannot believe
it. You got a KHTK tattoo?
Yeah, well, like, the temporary tattoo.
Oh, okay, very good.
I cannot believe, they kept doing this thing with it, put the hand to it. You really are giving us this entire bottle of vodka. I can't believe I'm going to party tonight so much.
I can't believe it. I'm calling my girlfriends. I'm calling my girlfriends.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, see, you were generous. That's nice.
Sure.
So the controversy.
What's not to like? Welcome to Sacramento.
There you go.
What's not to like?
It's a fine place, huh?
Hi, 1140 girls.
Yeah,
what are you doing?
Who?
The actress, huh?
Take a vodka.
How are you, Latina?
With my compliments. your body all night.
Well, the controversy continues over the real Beverly Hillbillies, and Les Moonves, meeting with reporters, said the reporter pointed out that CBS also took a lot of criticism over its Hitler miniseries, but went ahead with it anyway. Moonves says it's a stretch to compare Hitler with the Hillbillies project, but...
Well, Uncle Dolph!
Aegon! Merry Christmas! Merry Christmas!
But quoting Les Moonves, if we're not doing something controversial that makes somebody unhappy, we're not doing our job right.
Well, I hope he puts this thing on the air. It's going to be great if he does. It'll be a good move.
Well, God knows, if you could put a movie about Hitler on the air,
right.
You sure should be able to do a reality show about the real-life Beverly Hillbillies.
And you are taking a family and giving them a better life.
$500,000 and putting them in a mansion, at least for a while, in Beverly Hills.
Again, though,
I'm praying for that one.
You know, he should just say, listen... We did Hitler.
Right.
I mean, that's where the discussion should begin.
We did Hitler. We're doing the Hillbillies. Deal with it.
Yeah. Well, he's just hinting at it still at this point. But Moonves also says the network might have stepped over the line a teensy bit when it tried to land an interview with former prisoner of war Jessica Lynch. The network implied that if Jessica would agree to only be interviewed by CBS News, then CBS Entertainment would make a TV movie about her ordeal in Iraq. Quoting Moonves, that was not respecting the sanctity of CBS News. Journalists are not supposed to pay for stories.
There's his sanctity. That's his sanctity right there.
Journalists aren't supposed to pay for stories because it opens the door for fabricated news.
Mm-hmm.
Moonves goes on to say, if we had to do it again, a movie of the week never would have been mentioned. Moonves says that when your company owns a lot of related companies, it's easy to get carried away.
How can you make that not sound sleazy, you know?
Yeah, I know.
You do the interview with us.
You can...
We will make a miniseries about your ordeal.
You can smell that guy through the radio, can't you? I mean, when Buzz talks about him...
Listen, if you come on to us, don't do any other interviews.
I'm telling you.
We will make you a star.
A book with Simon and Schuster.
Seen Yes, Dear? How would you like to be in the time slot? I'd have to Yes, Dear. I can make this happen. You know why? I made Hitler happen.
Lady Soldier, the miniseries. You'll be great, but don't do an interview with anyone else.
And, oh, yes, I want you to do a guest shot on my new reality show, The Real Life Beverly Hillbillies.
They're putting a lot of pressure on me about exploiting people, but don't worry, it's going to be a moneymaker.
It would help me from a PR angle to have a real... You know, prisoner of war type hero come on the show.
Yeah, you could come on and, talk to them and look at the camera and say how stupid they are. It would be brilliant.
I'm Les Moonves.
I am president of CBS Television.
And kind of ironic, with Barbara Streisand being such a devout Democrat, that her husband James Brolin will be playing Ronald Reagan on CBS. Yes, it's another CBS miniseries from the network that's getting increasingly cozy with the Republican Party.
Well...
The miniseries will air this fall and focus on the romance between Reagan and his wife, Nancy, played by Judy Davis.
He wants to do it accurately. He'll have to forget all of his lines.
God.
Well, the Fox Network, meanwhile, has certainly shaken up people this summer with its reality comedy show, Bonzai.
Anything is truly possible. New gaming opportunity. Place your bets now. It's time to play Bonzai.
Now, I'd just like to point out, but I don't know what the story's about.
Right.
But my first gut reaction after watching the premiere, last week was,
All right. And
I think I said this on the air, I'm amazed that there's not like some Chinese, Japanese watchdog group
right.
that is absolutely outraged because the way they speak
Bonzai!
is worse than anything we would ever do on this show.
There is such a group, but they had to get in line. Animal rights activists are appalled at a chicken sent skyward with helium balloons.
Oh.
The National Council on Problem Gambling doesn't like all the encouragement to bet on things in the show.
Bet now!
And yes, the Media Action Network for Asian Americans complains the show focuses on, quote, the most offensive negative Asian stereotypes.
Are you listening to tell me? This is from last night's episode.
Mm-hmm.
What they did was they took... Now, a lot of these ideas are not bad ideas.
Oh,
what ruins it is, really, after a while, even I lose lose the energy to laugh.
Bonsai!
With that guy who would talk like this.
Uh-huh.
They took a Princess Di doll.
Right.
Well, listen to it. They filled it with air, and which side would it land on? Anyway, listen.
Bonsai! The queen of our hearts. Many thought she was gone, but now she has returned as Diana, the paranormal plastic doll of justice.
I gotta watch this.
A very tricky dicky Diana Doru decision.
Who's a Diana doll decision? Very, very simple. From beyond the grave, Lady Princess Diana is able to answer simple questions of truth.
Wow.
First, she must be taken up into the sky in a hot air balloon. Next, she will be thrown out of the balloon. As she falls, her psychic parachute of truth will open, and she will land safely in one of two answer zones.
She will
whichever
ramp.
Zone Diana doll land in, that is true answer.
That is true answer.
Right, and the broken English.
I mean, if we did that on a regular basis, we get our balls so bad. Hold on.
God. Okay, time to put Diana Doll Lady to the test.
Mrs. Princess Diana Lady, tell me, little Mr. Harry Potter from the film. Has she done it properly yet with the lady? What's your record? Has she got the money ground out for the ladies yet?
Jesus.
Look, she's really thinking about it. What's your record, eh?
What do you think Diana say? Will she say, yes, Mr. Harry Potter has done it proper with a lady? No, Mr. Harry Potter never done it proper with a lady.
Done it proper.
Proper or not proper.
Vote now.
Place your bets now. No need for a spell. Lady Di can tell. Never say die. Anna.
Diana Lady, now in position. Yes, and nozzles clearly in position, too.
Oh. Pressure mounting. Okay, here we go.
Pressure mounting.
Ready, Princess Diana, please. See away. Flying like the wind.
See away.
Diana Lady heading straight for nozzles. She's got no written all over it.
There you go.
You described it as a headache. You said the first time you watched it was like a headache.
But besides the fact that, I mean, the stunts are okay, but there's too much noise and too much stuff. The other thing is just, I'm amazed how they get away with this. Miss Diana Lady.
Diana Lady, zone of truth.
Which will she say? Beloved Princess Diana Lady.
Unbelievable!
So, yeah, there are these protests from the Asian American groups, the gambling groups, and also the animal rights activists. Quoting Fox, a Fox spokesman, it's very tongue-in-cheek and should not be viewed as anything more than a very different kind of game show.
Make your bets now! Quick!
The end! Unbelievable!
Quick!
I gotta watch this.
Which side will she fall on? Yes or no?
Dawn of truth.
The same way paramedics busted up Elvis's teeth, the folks trying to sell some of Elvis's stuff on eBay have decided to break up the set, which included a tooth. An Elvis tooth, saved by one of his girlfriends, was up for bid, along with a lock of his hair and a gold record of Love Me Tender.
I want to know how his girlfriend got one of his teeth.
But she was with him at the dentist. Linda, I can't remember her last name. Thompson, thank you. No one bought the set for the asking price of $100,000. It went on the block July 5th. The set did. Now the owners say they'll try selling the items individually. That's good news to people like Joni Mabe, the Elvis babe. She claims to own one of the king's warts and a toenail clipping she found in the carpet at Graceland in 1983.
How does she know it's his?
She doesn't. A European company is reportedly interested in cloning the tooth, something you guys were talking about last week.
Yeah, make a new Elvis.
Hey, I'll tell you something about eBay, though. Hi, Elvis.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night and didn't make it.
You are a great entertainer.
I don't know the words to it, so I can read it. If we give it up, just... No, please forgive us.
Please forgive us. Remember on Friday's episode, I told you about the King of Queens pullover that Rob Spiewak's wife had put on eBay.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, a lot of people who listen to this show go to eBay.
Right.
Rob, how many views did it get? And it was hard to find. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like you could just go type.
Right.
Because it was like in the European section or something.
I don't know how she does it. She's very busy, my wife. over 400 people took the time to view it, wow. And the money more than tripled.
Wow.
So I won't say exactly how much it went for, but
wow.
You gentlemen, dig yours out.
There you go. All right.
It's worth it. It's big time.
Big time. So go to eBay and buy all the King of Queens stuff that we were given by former friend Rhea Remini.
Unbelievable. And it was bought in Germany.
It was bought in Germany.
So maybe that's where people like the show.
What, are you on Friday? They don't like it here?
I never said that in the zone of truth. Hi.
Bonsai. Buzz.
Yes.
Must break now.
Okay.
Must break now. Quick
now. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. A kind word need not cost much. With half a loaf of bread and an empty cup, I found myself two friends, Don and Mike.
I know. You don't get it. I know. I mean, you're listening. I know you don't get it. Don't worry about it. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I just have to say one thing.
Yeah.
It's from a menu.
Bonsai!
Bonsai!
Quick.
Addled actor Nick Nolte is off the hook.
Addled actor. You love addled.
I do.
Addled, again, is...
It means confused. That's one of the meanings, and that's the one I have applied here to Nick Nolte. He's been cleared of the charges. He violated his probation.
After that trip, I think my bowels are addled.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a little of that airline food will addle your bowels.
Did you wash the ass today?
Trust me. Over and over.
The Oscar-winning actor, was on a short leash after a DUI rap, and then last month he was...
I don't understand why they make a big deal about me being addled. I'm an addled actor.
Well, last
and I'm a teacher. Come on, Buzz, for God's sake. I'm addled. Why do you call me addled? Tough enough being me. See that picture of me with the Hawaiian shirt on?
Well, you were on
the
probation.
Crazy hair?
Yeah.
Jesus, what's wrong with me?
Your mugshot? Yeah.
My mind. I'm out of my freaking mind. And don't you understand? I'm out of my mind.
What do you think about Sacramento?
Bonsai!
So while on probation, last month he was supposedly spotted doing it again in Malibu, driving under the influence. At least that's what a witness said. But a judge has decided that although Nolte did go into a liquor store that day and bought $120 worth of booze, he drove away sober. Quoting Nolte, it was just false allegations. He says,
who is the judge, Keanu Reeves? Dude, you drove way sober. Whoa.
Hi, my name's Nick Nolte. I'm here to get $120 worth of booze. Did you wash your ass today? Of course I didn't wash my ass. I'm going to buy booze. Bonsai.
Nolte says he bought the beverages for guests at a charity gathering.
Bonsai.
The judge liked that explanation.
There you go. It was a big charity, dude. The Nick Nolte's going to get drunk foundation.
You are way straight, dude.
You are a great
Whoa.
Judge Keanu Reeves. Prices are up, unemployment is up, and the president's popularity is down.
Nice bush.
A new survey by CNN and Time magazine shows people are increasingly uneasy with the way W is handling both the economy and the situation in Iraq. Nearly as many people say they're very unlikely to vote for Bush again as there are people who say they're very likely to vote for re-election. In May, 63% of us thought the president was doing a good job. Now only 55% think that. Only 2 out of 5 of us say the Iraqi operation was a success.
And how many percentage of people are sick of polls?
Polls? I'm not sick of any polls.
I'd say about 80%.
I like Polish people.
No, I didn't mean that. I mean, like, you know, for instance,
public
you're trying
polls.
To confuse me is what you're doing.
Someone who calls,
I bought $120 worth of booze.
Somebody would call you and ask you a question. For instance, who is this, please?
This is Nick Nolte.
Nick, what were you doing at the liquor store?
Buying $120 worth of booze for a charity dude. What are you going to pull me about?
You are way straight.
I am way straight. You're a good artist.
My poll question is,
yes.
What's your favorite city in Sacramento?
What?
Or what's your favorite
what? What are you saying?
To try to confuse me.
Boy,
are you addled?
You sounded addled.
What is your favorite city in California?
Sacramento. Oh, I love Sacramento. I love me the sector. Can I smell your cat?
Oh, that's
all the boy writes for me now.
John's doubled over now. His head's
can
on the counter.
I smell your cast, Mr. Geronimo? God, I tell you, I had a cast once. Smelled it all day. It was a nice cast. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, Nick.
Bear with us.
God, it's quite all right.
That's okay.
Got a serious story here.
I hope you know, I'm taking every ounce of strength in my body to stand up and write myself at this control board.
There you go. Stand. I understand you've had a long weekend.
So we have to compose ourselves because this is a serious story?
Just for a moment here.
Is this really serious?
Yeah, no,
serious?
Really serious.
Okay.
The old man who plowed his car through an outdoor market in L.A. says killing 10 people broke his heart. 86-year-old.
I'm making a serious...
Yes. You're trying to make a serious face. You're very excited. 86-year-old Russell Weller made
Buzz?
A statement. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, serious man.
Serious face.
86-year-old Russell Weller made this statement on one of the days that two of his victims were buried, a woman and her 7-month-old grandson.
Now, I'll tell you something. I'm familiar with this story,
right.
And I find this, all kidding aside, mm-hmm. you said be serious, and I can't be serious because, I'm too tired.
Right.
When I saw the old guy that did this plot into these people mm-hmm. in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. when I saw him coming out of the police station
right.
that day to meet his friends and family who were there to pick him up, he was smiling.
Yeah, I think he was...
And shaking hands.
I think he's completely out of it. Is he not? I mean, what is
clueless.
When I saw that picture of him coming out, I said, this guy's completely just not even there.
I got that same impression, and this was a written statement that was released to the public from him in which he said that it broke his heart, what happened. But hundreds of people showed up at this funeral of this woman and her grandson, and including one of the mourners who said that the driver, they should take his license away. Dozens were injured. Ten were killed last Wednesday when the man tore through a farmer's market. At last check, 11 people were still in the hospital, 3 of them in critical condition. Police say the old man may have been fleeing the scene of another accident when he plowed through the market.
Listen, two things.
Wow.
Yeah. First, that's why you should elect me king.
Right.
Right.
You elect me king. I open my leisure camps. We get these old people off the road.
Right.
Except
for your mom.
Thank you.
Second, Buzz, there was not only a written statement.
Yes.
The guy said something to the press.
He did.
I don't know. He's rambling, as you mentioned. He's really kind of incoherent.
Hard to tell.
How old did you say this guy is?
86.
Here he is. Now, that's a joke.
Of course. Right.
Sorry, that's a joke.
Friend of yours, actually.
This is really the old guy on the steps of the Santa Monica courthouse.
Congratulations. This is Max Baer Jr., Jethro Bodine from the Beverly Hillbillies, and you just won the CBS Celebrity Burp Contest.
No.
Got it in on Monday.
You got it. You like to get it out of the way at the beginning of the week.
Well, I like mixing it up.
You might mess this up and play it on Friday or something.
Sometimes I wait till Thursday, but today's a good day. Well, with being so serious at all.
Max Baer.
I understand.
Play it today.
In sports, here comes the spin. A friend of the young woman who's accused Kobe Bryant of rape says the alleged victim OD'd on pills just a few months ago. Quoting the friend, I don't think it was accidental. And Dan Duquette has found life after the Boston Red Sox. He's taken up acting in a live stage production of Damn Yankees.
Oh, my God.
He pretended to be a general manager for so long.
Yeah. Be the devil, because that's what you are to the nation, baby.
Quoting him, if Steinbrenner can get in a conga line with Derek Jeter, why can't I do this?
Maybe because Steinbrenner has a successful franchise and you're a failed GM.
Finally,
sorry, I don't like him.
And say you needed to vent a little.
Thank you.
Finally, there's a new sheriff in town in Aiken County, South Carolina.
Play Aiken County?
No, just Aiken County.
Hi, this is Clay Aiken.
This is Clay Aiken County. We all sing.
Hello, this is Ruben Studdard.
Ruben Studdard County?
Hello there.
There in Aiken County, for weeks, people saw his campaign signs everywhere while he ran for sheriff. He could have used his full first name, Michael, but no. Quoting the sign, elect Mike Hunt, Aiken County Sheriff. I'm Buzz Burbank.
I thought Don and Mike show.
Well, that's never.
Yes.
No.
Okay, we gotta go.
Let's stay longer.
How about you, Steve?
I knew that was coming.
And Buzz, he was of the Aiken Hunts, right?
Yes, yes, that's right. Yeah.
Claude Aiken. Yeah. Okay, we got to go.
That sounds like something a squirrel would hide.
And all my Aiken Hunts. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow with a new episode. Good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And good day to you,
good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
And everybody else, blah, 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 blah.
Good night, Sacramento.
All right, Rusty.
You want to hang out tonight?
Suck. BM.
Till we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.